Kirkland, and I'm on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and I do want to have his baby.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We are global. You're on live with Brian Hammer Jackson Show with Brian Hammer Jackson. That's me. I want to welcome Melissa, and I want to welcome and introduce my board executive. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you ready to start your show in about an hour?
Yes, I am. And I have a guest that I'm bringing on. Her name is Ann Smith, and she is the executive editor of Hacker News and whatthefreally.com. So she's a very interesting person.
I love it. I love it. Well, we'll make sure we go on time because it's the debut of your show. I got your music ready to go. Here's how it'll work. Melissa, you set the tone of your show, the format of your show. I am in the background. I am your, how you call it, sidekick.
My peanut gallery.
Yes, that's who I am. You can call me when you want me to speak. No one will speak during your show because you run your show. And we'll talk later after the show because I have some good news for you, too.
Awesome.
Sure. Would you mind holding on to the show? We have a very special show today. It's a touching show, and we're going to make a call today. I want to introduce Diane. Diane is our board executive. She runs the board. She's the first voice you will hear when you talk before you talk to me. So, Diane, are you there? Oh, she's probably busy. It'll be Diane, and it'll also be Jeff. Jeff is also one of the board members who run the board, make sure everything's smooth. And Melissa, they will do it with you, too, if you allow them, or it's up to you. You could hit your own buttons. What would you like to do?
I think I'd like their help, especially to start.
You got them. You got them. Do you see the board today, Melissa, because you should have the information?
Yep, I'm actually in the back end right now, and I can see everything.
Okay.
The whole switchboard, the audio clips, the whole nine.
There you go. You're ready to go.
Yeah. I do have a question about adding an audio clip. I guess I'll wait for after the show.
Well, you can do it. You see, if you're looking at the board, you'll see on the air. And if you look across, you'll see switchboard, and then you'll see audio clip.
Yep.
Okay. Then you see like a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Okay. That plus button. Hit the plus button. And you can upload any audio
clip.
And just upload
it.
You are peeking behind the curtain.
Well, you are the great and powerful Oz.
Oh, jeez.
And I really want to thank you for this opportunity. I'm so appreciative. This is awesome. And this happened really quickly to go from being a guest to now, you know, having my own part of the show. It's pretty amazing.
Well, you know what, Melissa, you're a very talented young lady. You're well-versed. The interest that you have is just fantastic. You have a voice. It needs to be heard. I want to thank you for accepting our offer. I really do.
Well, thank you, and I can't wait to get started and be a part of the show.
Well, in about another 50 minutes, Missy, you're on. I want to introduce our other people. Vinny, my old good friend Vinny, Vinny's friend of the show. Vinny, welcome to
the
show.
Hey, what are you doing?
Well, you know, we're trying to do a show, but with you, it's a show now, and Melissa's going to start her show in about 50 minutes.
Oh, hi, Melissa. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Let's do this, Brian.
You got it. We're on a mission today, you guys. We're going to make a quick call today, a really quick call, and it's a special call. I was up all night. I was really up all night. I read this letter, and this letter haunted me. And you know, sometimes we're selfish. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes we're selfish, and I'm thinking, Can I do it? Because I want to do it. But then I was afraid to fail. Because somebody asking you for something, and I'm afraid to think I'm not as good as I think I am. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking I'm going crazy. I'm going, Can I do it? I want to be successful. I'm afraid to fail. And then there was a little voice in my head saying, "Listen, you little bastard." I don't know where it came from. You quit being a wimp and you get your ass up there and you do it and you make it successful. And the other little voices in my head saying, "Hey, who's that?" And one little voice said in my head saying, "Hey, that's the new guy. I don't know who this guy came from." And so the other voices are listening to this voice, and I'm listening to this voice. "Now you get your hammer ass up there and you do what you do." And the other little voice is in my head going, "Hey, the new guy's cool." So I listen to the new guy. And this is all going in my head. So I'm listening to the new guy. I go, "New guy? Yeah. I'm the new guy, and you get your ass up there, and you do what you do, and you make a magic." "Okay, new guy." And the rest of the guys started cheering the new guy. So that's what I'm doing.
You got to listen to that guy sometimes.
That guy. Because that guy know a guy, know a guy, know a guy, know a guy.
Yeah, right, of course.
So I'm listening to the new guy. So the new guy is going to be running the show today because he knows what he has to do. And so let me start by reading the letter. And I have to play the letter jingle. I'm sorry, but it's tradition. Here we go.
"Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding."
Ding! I love that tone. Here's the letter. Here's the letter, guys. And again, this kept me up all night. This letter from my friend Andre Pillow. Andre was on his show, and so Andre sent me a letter. And if you listen to the show, you heard the letter, but you know what? I'm going to keep reading the letter and keep reading the letter and keep reading the letter because I think we can help. "Hey, Kelly Bryan, you had me on the show before, Kid Classic. I don't know if you remember me or not. Anyway, I know you probably already have your show set up for today. I know you do an awesome job on your show of spreading and getting the word out for things. So I thought it would be a good idea to ask you for your help. I'm coming to you for help on behalf of a family and three sisters. One's pregnant, but most important, three little kids. The kids are listening right now, so it's okay, parents. I can behave. Yesterday, their house burned down in Garden Grove, California. They lost everything in the fire, the whole house, including three cars. I know this family. They are wonderful people, and the fascinating part is the woman who owns the house. For Thanksgiving, she puts out a post on Facebook opening up her home to anyone who didn't have a place to eat on Thanksgiving. Now her house is gone, and they have nothing. They had to move in with their other sister and her husband. Great people. Bless you guys. Now it's 10 of them living under a roof until they get back on their feet. They have started a fire relief fund with pitchin.com. The fund is running until December 28th. They have raised just $180, but could use much, much more. These kids deserve a Christmas. I'm going to post the link to the news video of the fire and the link to the fund below. If you could please share this on your show and work your magic. Ask anyone who can to to donate to help this family. They would really appreciate it. Also, if you could post the links on your page. Thanks, Brian. P.S. Also, if you can give a shout-out and a Merry Christmas to the kids on your show. Their names are Alex, Sophie, and Maria. Shout-out, Alex, Sophie, and Maria. Happy Christmas.
Alex, Sophie, and Maria, we're going to help you.
You got it, Vinny. And when Vinny says that, things move. So, Alex, Sophie, and Maria, I have a special message for you a little later, a very special message for you. They will listen to the archives later. I know this is short notice, but if you could share this and help, they would appreciate it. Thanks, Brian. Okay. What I did, if you're listening to the show, you can go to actorsbreakdown.com/zipper1. That's ZIPPER1ONE. That's actorsbreakdown.com/zipper1. Go to the link where it says a letter to Brian. You will see the letter. There you will see the links where you can help the family. Please go there. You know, let's do magic. We can do magic together. One guy can spread the word, but it can go to a guy, to a guy, to a guy, to a guy, to a woman, to a woman, to a guy, to a guy.
Forget about it.
And forget about it, because it will all work out. I want to sue Sophie, Alex, Maria. I want to tell you a little story, and hope you bear with me, because I don't have children. So the story may be a little rough. It's okay, parents, but this is my little story. If I had kids, if I had invisible kids, I'm sure they would be just like you three. Let me tell you something, kids. Children, gather around. Now, listen, children. Here's what happens. You know, sometimes things get rough, and that's okay, because things are supposed to get rough, because it's like a test. This is a test that you can't study for in school. This is a test that you can't find the answers, because you have the answers. It's called faith. You have to believe. At this point, maybe your parents are a little afraid. It's okay. But they know what to do. They know what to do. You're a little bit more scared because you don't have the experience and know that everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I'm going to tell you a story. Here's a little story. Once upon a time, it's a true little story, kiddies. There was this little ant. He was a little ant. He was a little kind of guy. And he's walking along, this little ant walking along. And, well, this ant wasn't too smart, because in front of the ant, there was like this little rubber tree, right? So the ant didn't, you know, go around the rubber tree plant, because he was one of these disabled ants. You know, he was not too bright ant. So what the ant tried to do is the ant tried to push that rubber tree. You know, he's a little ant, and it's a big tree. So that ant, you know what, he wanted to move that tree out of his way. So he got his little ant hands on that tree, and he tried to push that rubber tree, and he's pushing. And everybody knows that little ant, and people are looking at him. And he was, you know, the other little ants are running around, and they're bullying him, because they're saying, look at you. You're a little ant. You can't push that tree. We're going to laugh at you, and then we're going to eat your lunch and get your lunch money later. So, but that little ant didn't listen to them. So that little ant kept pushing and kept pushing. You know why that little ant kept pushing? I'll tell you why that little ant kept pushing. Because that little ant didn't think he was a little ant. He only may be a little guy in everybody else's mind, but he was a big, strong guy in his own mind. And you know what happened, little kitties? I'll tell you what happened. That little ant believed that he was 10 foot tall, and he had muscles like Popeye. Oh, you don't know Popeye. He's a little sailor guy with muscles. Anyway, he thought he can push that tree, and he believed he can push that little tree. All the other ants are going, aha, look at you, aha, and they're eating his lunch. He didn't care about his lunch that day. No, he didn't. He kept pushing that tree because that tree was in his way. And you know what happened, kitties? I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what happened to that little tree. He pushed that tree out of his way. And nobody thought he can do it. Nobody. He pushed that tree, and one tree, he pushed so hard that it fell on the lunch counter, and those other little ant kids that got their little sandwiches messed up. That's how strong that little ant was. And so, kids, what I'm trying to tell you here is this. You know, when things get really bad, and you look around and sometimes you see your parents not so happy, it's okay. They know what to do. But with you, you got to remember, you're little kitties. You are that little ant. So the next time that you find that your chin is on the ground, you know, you got to remember that ant. Because there's a lesson here to be learned, you know. Because the next time when you're down and you find your chin on the ground, you just look around and you just remember that little ant. Because nobody thought he could move that little rubber tree plant. Nobody. Because everybody knows that ant can't move a rubber tree plant. But you know what that ant had and what you guys have? Love, family, people who care about you. And you know what that means? That means high hopes. Because once you have love, family, and people who care about you, you can do anything. That's called high hopes, kiddies.
Yes.
That's called high hopes. And kids, we're going to make a very important call. And so I'm going to say this, you know. You know what makes that little old ant think that he can move a rubber tree plant? Because you know when people are saying, everybody knows ant can't do that. But he got some high hopes. So just remember. Just remember that ant. And all of a sudden, one tree, one rubber tree is going to go. Another one's going to go. Everything's going to be okay. Because you got a lot of people who love you. And that's going to give you hope to do the impossible thing. And that's to move that plant. And pretty soon, oops, there goes another rubber tree. You knocked it down, kids. And there'll be another rubber tree that'll go too. Hang strong, kids. I promise you, everything's going to be better.
Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned, so look around. Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you get low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had.
Right back after this commercial.
Winston Mac, Emerson Mooney, clap your hands, everybody sing. Winston Mac, Emerson Mooney, clap your hands, everybody shout.
We're the Grimps, we're the band, playing where we can. We're the Grimps, we're the band, playing one night stand. Come along and sing our song. We're gonna rock it all night long.
Gremlin. That's the Grimps. They will be appearing soon. They're an animated show, cartoon. The kids are going to love them. I played them for you kids. What we're going to do right now, and I see you, Ellen, and Elena, thank you so much for holding. In fact, let me open up the phones to her. Elena?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, great. Thank you, and welcome to the show, and thank you for being patient. I just want to do one thing, and we'll get right to the interview.
No problem.
And, she is a relationship coach, or let me say, is it Elena Burnett?
Perfect, Elena, yes, Elena
yes.
Burnett. You got it right.
Stay tuned for this, guys and ladies. I mean, she will save your life. She's a relationship and dating coach. Boy, do I need to talk to her. Here's what we're going to do. Diane, if you can open up your phone, please.
I'm here, babe.
Okay, you have the number to the family?
Yeah, it's right there on the board under my name, under my number.
Okay, we have a special thing here. Let me see. We haven't done this live before. What we're going to do, you guys, we're going to call the family who wrote the letter. Let's see if this works. They're probably listening. Okay. Diane, can you see what I'm doing? I'm trying to put the number in.
No, I don't see that at all.
Okay. Can you put the number in? You see where the telephone is?
Yeah.
Want to try it?
Okay, we'll give it a try.
Give it a try. Hi, Elena. It was a nice family who sent us, why Diane's doing that, who sent us a very nice letter. And, you know, things happen, don't they, Elena? It says your relationship coach. You have anyone? Oh, the phone's ringing.
Rosanna.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, Rosanna?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, you're on live with Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Oh, okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Diane.
Welcome.
Is it Rosanna?
Yes, it is.
Rosanna, tell us what happened.
Well, the night before the fire, I was getting sick. So I was having a hard time sleeping, and I would say, like, I went to bed, like, close to 4 o'clock, and then for some reason, at, like, 4:40, I woke up, and I looked in down the hall. Well, I looked out my door, and you could see the hall from my door, and I just seen smoke filling up my house. So I got up, and I just started screaming for everybody to get up, and we started running out of the house, and as we were running out of the house, literally our garage, which is connected to our kitchen, which just kept exploding from a fire that started, I guess, with an electrical plug in the garage. Mm-hmm. And literally, like, in minutes, almost, like, our cars were on fire, our whole garage was on fire, our kitchen, like, almost half of the house in minutes. Like, it just went up so fast. It was scary.
All right. Did anybody get hurt?
We had, well, there's 8 of us, 5 adults and 3 kids. And then all of us got out safely. The only person that didn't make it was a pet bird my daughter had.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we had a puppy that we were crate training. And in, like, being so scared and running out, we just kind of forgot about her. And so the paramedics had to rescue her.
They
got her, I think, just in time, because literally everything that was around the crate was melting already.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Go ahead, Ms. Hernandez.
Well, we lost, like, half of the house in the fire, and the rest is just, like, smoke and water damage. So we pretty much, everything that we owned is gone.
What is the pain? I'm going to ask a really question. What do you feel? How do you feel? Here's what I hate. I hate people who come to you and say, I know how you feel. I like to punch them. Because you you could not possibly know how a person feels like this. Everybody has their own different emotions and different feelings. How do you, what did you feel when you saw this?
Numb. Like, I don't know. It's just like a numb feeling, and you just don't know, like, I don't know. A lot of people say it's just material stuff, but I have a 12-year-old daughter. I was a single mom for a long time. Like, that stuff that I worked really hard to get her, that, like, even though it's just material stuff, it's still, like, it hurts, you know, to know that all your life you worked for, like, that stuff that you had. Yeah, and it's gone, like, in a matter of, like, seconds and minutes. Like, everything you own is literally gone, and you're starting all over from scratch with, like, nothing. And it just breaks your heart to, like, watch your kid cry for things that somebody would say, like, oh, that's stupid, or, you know, but she doesn't know any better. You know, like, those are her important things to her.
Of course.
That's, like, the hardest part about it.
Well, you know, it's funny when people say, it's just material things. Again, I'm going to hit them. Because it's not material things. Those are physical memories.
Yeah, they are. Like, I mean, it might sound stupid to somebody, but my mother had paid for her to go to a Justin Bieber concert for her birthday, and she has, like, her memorabilia that she bought from there, you know, stuff that she got, like, that was given to her from there, and that means, to her, it meant a lot, you know, and that stuff's, like, it means stuff to her, even though it doesn't mean much to us, but, like, it, you know, that's one of the things she was upset about.
Let's talk about you. Now, you're a very nice lady, but I'm very disturbed, and I have to ask you something, because I want to make sure you're okay and you're not a disturbed person. The disturbed thing is you open your house to Facebook people for Thanksgiving.
That ain't being disturbed.
That's disturbing to me.
No, the woman's...
No, well... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's fine, Brian. That's not being disturbed.
Hey, I know people on Facebook. I don't even tell them my address.
The thing about Facebook is everybody that is on my Facebook are friends that I know. I don't just, you know, accept people that I don't know. It's all people that I know one way or another. And I have, like, it's really crazy. My mom, everybody always says that I'm kind of nuts because whenever I see, like, a homeless person, literally I'm unemployed right now. I lost my job recently. Like, I don't have very much money. I open my doors for my sisters and their kids, you know. We don't have that much money. And whenever I see somebody, I always give them my last dollar. Or I always, like, if I buy food, like, I'll give them my food. Like, that's just the type of person I am. And I just, it breaks my heart when I see somebody alone eating, like, out and they're alone. Or I always think, like, oh, what if they don't have anybody, you know.
What a beautiful...
I grew up with so little that, like, you know, I know how it feels to not have.
Are you alone? Are you a single mother? Do you have your husband? Is your Mr. Hernandez with you?
I have the most, like, wonderful fiancé ever. I mean, he's a hardworking man. Like, my sisters, they, you know, we grew up in a hard home and with, you know, very little. And when they had kids, they didn't really have anybody, like, the fathers to their kids weren't really there. And he let them come stay with us and with, you know, no help from them at the time. And we basically helped them and their kids for a long time. You know, they're barely, like, getting on their feet. And, you know, he always said it was okay. And people said, like, you know, that's crazy. You have all these people in your house. But he didn't care. He knew it was family and it meant something to me, so...
Let me ask you one more question at times like this. Do you ever question faith at this time, as in God?
I do,
mean,
yeah.
And it's normal. And it's normal. I'm saying, why? I mean, this is a lady who opened up her home to people who didn't have anything to eat. And the little things that you did have, they were welcome to come in. Of course, they're friends, but they're not friends. But they're friends and acquaintances who recognize your type, you know. I guess you have to type to them to communicate because you can't talk to them because they're morons. But anyway.
Yeah.
Do you even agree?
Well,
yes, they are. But what I'm
saying... Well, so, I mean, there's, yeah, of course. There's people that, you know,
yeah,
I'm sure I wouldn't, like, socialize with very often, but... I mean,
but
I do question faith because...
You do. You have to.
I feel like I've gone through a lot in life, and sometimes I say, like, you know, why? Like, that's the one thing. During the fire, I kept screaming, like... My neighbors probably thought I was crazy. It was like, why us, you know, like, why me, like, but I guess everything happens for a reason. I mean, who knows?
But how is your faith now?
I mean, I'm trying to stay strong.
Yes.
you always have that in your back of your mind, like, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, like, or why, you know, why would you let this happen? But I have a feeling that, you know, after all this, it'll probably, it can only get better.
Well, you know, I believe the same thing. I believe everything happens for a reason. I think people come in your life for a reason. You are not privy to God's plan. There's a plan. There is a plan. But he didn't tell you yet, but you're going to find out how good the plan's going to be. Keep the faith and know that something's going to change. That life is going to change. Something's going to come out of this that's in the plan, but you just don't know the full plan yet.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It will come. So how are the children? What are the ages of the children?
I have a nephew who's 3, my niece is 4, and I have a 12-year-old daughter.
Do they you have a 12-year-old? Do they talk?
Yeah.
Can I speak to the 12-year-old daughter? Her name is it Sophie?
No, Sophia is a 4-year-old. My 12-year-old, mommy, she was still sleeping,
is that Maria?
I believe. Like, yeah. It's one of the first nights she actually got to sleep in.
Could I speak to Maria? Sure, could I speak to Maria?
There's a radio station on the line and they want to talk to you. Want to talk? They want to talk to
you. Maria!
Hold on just 1 minute. Here you go.
Sure.
Hello?
Hi, Maria. My name is Brian the Hammer Jackson. You're on live
Hi.
With the radio station. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good.
You're good. I know. You sound great. Hey, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a tough time, huh, kid?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story. I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to tell you a really stupid joke, but you cannot laugh. If you laugh, I'm going to talk to another sister, okay? I like talking to you, so whatever you do, do not laugh at this joke, okay?
Okay.
You ready? All right, it's going to be a quick joke. It's my favorite one. It's a doggy. And this doggy comes walking down. It's in a western town, and he goes into a saloon. You know what a saloon is? You're 12. Okay, to you would be a Chuck E. Cheese. Okay, so a doggy will come into a Chuck E. Cheese. And he goes up to the bar, and he asks for a drink. And a guy behind the counter says, "We don't serve dogs here," and he shoots him in the foot. He shoots the doggy in the foot. So the doggy limps out of Chuck E. Cheese, and he's really upset now because I got shot in the foot. So he's really upset. And so what the doggy does is he goes next door in the West. They have a gun place, so he buys a gun, he buys a hat, and he walks back into Chuck E. Cheese with his gun and his hat, and he looks at the guy behind the counter, and he says, "I'm looking for the guy who shot my paw." You can't laugh. Huh? What do you think? You can talk, but you can't laugh. Oh, I killed... Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Is she laughing? I heard that. I heard it. She's a cute girl. Hello?
Hello?
Miss Hernandez? Hi, Miss Hernandez?
Oh.
Oh, is this Maria?
Hold on.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello? Maria?
Yeah?
Was it funny?
I don't know.
Everybody's a critic. Maria, hang in there, kid. We got a lot of people who love you. It's going to get better, okay?
Okay.
I promise. It's going to get a lot better, okay?
Okay.
All right. Anytime you need me, are you allowed to go on Facebook or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, ask your mother first, and anytime you need me, ask her to go to Actors Anarchy. That's my page, okay?
Okay.
And give me a hello. Let me know how you're doing, okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Nice talking to you. Can I talk to your mom?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. And I know you laughed, didn't you? You really did laugh.
Hello.
Hi. She laughed, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Okay. Finally. Thank you so much. What we're going to do, I'm going to let people go to actorsbreakdown.com/zipper1. That's our blog. We have your letter up on the blog and the links where they can help.
Okay. Really appreciate any help. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Vinny, do you have anything to say before Mr. Hernandez has to go?
Well, you told her just about it. Just have faith. I'm sure everything will work out. As far as the, you know, we don't know what they have, what the big plan is, but there is a plan in everything. There's a light. I mean, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow. You know that song? Well, try and think of that. Seriously.
Yeah, we are. We really are.
Do you have a cassette or do you have a DVD that you can watch? I could recommend a movie.
I don't right now, but I...
Okay. A Boy Named Charlie Brown. If you ever get it, watch The Boy Named Charlie Brown. Trust me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you for your time. God bless you, too.
And
bye.
We're on it for you. Bye. And thank you, Andre.
Oh, thank
Hello.
You.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, dear. Bye.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rosanna Hernandez. Thank you so much. There you go. Diane, did I accidentally hang up on her?
No, she dropped.
Okay. Let's start the show, huh? Vinny, thanks a lot for the help. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are with the most relationship expert in the world, and God knows everyone needs one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. She's so patient. I want to thank her so much. I want to invite her back, too, just in case we don't have enough time. As quickly as we can, even tomorrow. Or if she's that good, I'll invite her over to my house tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Elena Barnett. How are you, Elena?
I'm very good. I was listening.
Hello, Elena.
Hello. How are you?
All right, good. You going to help us today or what?
Well, that's Vinny. Well,
yes.
Let me tell you what she does. She specializes in communication strategies, working with women, helping them understand the heart and mind of different types of men. Elena was born in France. She's from France, oui, oui, and raised between France and Madrid. Madrid. She speaks French, Spanish, hola, English, and Italian, oui.
I'm working on English.
Exactly. Having lived all over the world, Elena helps people from all cultures and walks of life. Her approach to relationship assistance is based on communication, what you want and don't want in a healthy way. Elena has worked as a counselor, hey, there you go, free meds, to men and women for more than 15 years. She has been a student of Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute, a recognized educational organization gaining expertise as an educator and effective communicate strategy. Elena provides the right tools and tips to navigate the dating arena and to improve your relationships. I need it. Elena is totally devoted to her passion of helping men, and some women too, and to better understand one another. You can see Elena more on, and she has her links here, www.facebook.com/lovelifesolutions, and again, www.elenacoach.blogspot.com for more information on being a sponsor of the Brian. Oh, don't use that part. That's mine. Okay. Well, here we go. Tell me about relationships, Elena. Why do they don't work, and how come you women are insane?
Well, I think relationships supposed to work. I think it's what it doesn't work is the approach we have towards relationship. And it is true. You have a good point. Women, because we are very emotional, we can be very irrational, illogical at times. So the point is understanding how you're going to deal with that, how you're going to communicate with the opposite sex. And I find very interested because I work with men for 15 years, so now I get to now translate to women what I learned from men, and also because I studied with Dr. Pat Allen. So it was a very, very great education for me. And this is what I do now, you know, helping women to understand men, you know. I think men are wonderful.
Oh, that voice. Oh, my God.
There you go. There's a man.
Yeah, I hear him.
Yeah, I don't know if you... I hear him. Here we go. Let's get on our women's boxing matches. Now, let me ask you something here, seriously. I think women are brought up to be great liars. I think from little girls, you guys are brought up with strategies. While the boys are playing baseball and sliding down a thing, you're sitting with your little dresses, developing, studying our behavior.
Well, this, you know what it is? It's like, and again, you said something that is very important. Men, they grow up as a performer. They go up there and they want to compete, they want to conquer. And women, we relate more on having a relationship because we are built in a different way. So men want to have a job, men want to achieve things, and women want to have a relationship. Especially, we're talking about younger women, women before their menopause. They're going to put a lot of attention into relationship. And so sometimes it looks like they're manipulated, but I think manipulation is okay if it's done in a constructive way. What is not okay is when there is gain. You see?
Exactly. You know, I like. Now, let me have your background. Are you married?
No, I have a relationship. I've been with my boyfriend for 13 years.
Oh, yeah.
However, I'm going to be really honest. We went through
sure.
a lot. So it's not like it's been beautiful and nothing happened. No, no, no. We broke up many times, and I have other partners. And, you know, when you are young, you're still young, but you go through a lot, you know, and that's what a relationship is made to. If you can go through the conflict together and still be together and still being in love with your partner.
I see. I understand. Tell me the top five mistakes that men make approaching a woman. Getting to talk to her, opening up a communication.
Well, when if he approached himself, the five mistake, let's see. One will be if he's too direct. When he approached to her and he's too direct, he needs to find a way to, let's say one is to be too direct. You see, he has to come around her. You see, it's like a shark. You know, he has to come little by little and stay to be direct. Another mistake I will think is when she doesn't make any contact eye, when she doesn't give any sign and a man approach you, because she's obviously not available. Another mistake is when there is women together and the man doesn't approach because they feel a little intimidated.
Yes.
And I think that one of the mistakes, you know, they see two girls and another one approach.
Would it be wrong to see two girls and you're undressing them in your mind and you're already getting your bed ready and before you approach them?
No. That's
okay,
that's,
thank you. I'm cool.
No, yeah.
Because I'm taking them home. Yeah, because you might want to help me because I'm a Neanderthal. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this really quickly. I'm going to jump back and forth. Tell me why. What is the main reason why relationships don't work?
Communication.
Okay.
It's communication, and it has to do a little bit with not. It's not so much about whether you are male and I am a female. It's not based on gender. It's more based on energy. What type of energy you putting out there when you mate? So when relationships don't work, what it's telling you is both people want to lead the conversation at the same time. They both want to be right. And that's where the conflict comes. You see? So if you want your relationship to work, you have to prioritize and you have to sometimes sacrifice and wait for the right moment to say whatever that you want to say. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But not, and people sometimes, they don't get it right on that point. You know? They both want to be right. And it's being able to communicate what is it that you want, what is it you don't want without intimidating or seducing your partner.
But you would have... Go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, no.
But you would have to agree with me that women are not the best communicators in the world. A man will see things black and white, but a woman will see things sideways, front way, this way, this way. And it's hard for her to communicate to a man. Would you agree?
Yes, I think you have a good point. We are very emotional, and we are very abstract in the way we get our point across, and that could be a little frustrating for men.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Now, there is a way to work that out, and is if you can listen when a woman talks, and I know it can be a little frustrated, but if you can give her a time frame, you can say, hey, I'm waiting to listen for the next 10 minutes. You have to specify because she's going to go over and over and over. She's not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. Hey, I'm willing to listen. I want to hear your pain. I have 10 minutes. What is it? So
you can actually
you
say, I have 10 minutes. Let me. You can actually put a time on it. My girlfriend would throw a shoe at me. And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
I got to tell you what happened to me. It was a violent thing. I tried to do the right thing, and I don't understand. And this is a true thing. What happened? I'm working. Women have to understand. The man's working. It must be sexy to see me work. But let me tell you what happened. My girlfriend came home, and she was in, I don't know what kind of mood, bad day at work, whatever, blah, blah. She was really down. Me, being because I care, I go there, I go, honey, but not in that voice, but I say, what's wrong? And she says, me. I say to her, whatever it is, tell me what it is, and we'll fix it. And then it was the biggest fight we ever had. You always want to fix it. I just want you to listen. Why can't you just listen? Why do you think you have to fix things? You don't have to fix things. You're not a fixer. I just want somebody to talk to. I go, call your girlfriend, and I'm out of there.
Oh,
now, what did I do wrong?
Oh, well, yeah, that was a good point. I love it. Well, this is the thing. You did one thing really good.
Thank you.
When you got home and you say, hey, what's going on? And you knew something was wrong. Because women communicate what they want by telling you what they don't want. So if she said nothing happened, it means something happened. So you got that right. Okay? Now, when she says, the problem was when you said, let's fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the problem.
Yes.
Because all she needs to hear from you is, hey, what's going on? I want to hear your pain.
Right.
Tell me. If you say to her, I want to hear your pain, now she understands she's not alone.
Okay.
And it's going to be very frustrated for you because you're going to want to fix it. You're going to be like,
yes.
What's the point?
Of course.
But if you just listen and you just say, oh, wow, really? And what else happened? Then
right.
She will end. She will feel better. She'll say, oh, thank you so much for listening because that's all she wanted.
That didn't happen.
She wanted you.
I was on a couch.
That's how I get in trouble.
That's the way you say things.
And my answer to that is drowning. If you're drowning, if I say, he's a lifesaver, or he's a freaking lifesaver, what's the difference? I'm there. I helped you.
I know.
But
I get it, Vinny.
They like that. They want it, everything sugar-coated, way, that way. I'm here for you. What's the freaking problem? Tell me. I'll fix it.
Exactly.
No.
Now, what is wrong with that?
Well, because, you know, you're a man. You want to fix things. That's
yes.
how you that's how you solve problems, fixing it.
Yes.
And I got it. That's,
okay.
But women, we don't want to hear that. You can fix the problem later on. But the first thing, you need to listen to her pain, because she's in pain. And she wants for you to be able to listen and ask questions.
All
and
right, if she's in pain, you pull out the splinter, and you fang it, and you make everything. You kiss the boo-boo, and you go on in life.
And forget about it.
That's all.
How are we doing?
And after you said to her, okay, so call your friend. So she got to be alone with her pain, and, I mean, that's very difficult for women, you know, because she doesn't feel like you care about her. That's how women get to know if a man care about them, is when you just listen. I have the same problem with my boyfriend. He's getting better because, you know, women, we suffer much more than men. I know this is difficult to believe it, but we do. We do, especially we are younger. Men, when they get older, they get to feel what it is to be a woman. Because they get a lot of oxytocin in their bodies, and that's the emotional part, you know. But as we are younger, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. So it's a challenge for you guys, you know.
Let me ask you a question, because you're absolutely right. I wanted to fix it, and Benny and I got almost men do it. And I hear the problem, and it's like, okay, fine, we're fixing it. Then I do the move. Honey. You got to do the voice, and you have to sing it. Honey, do you feel like making love at this time? No, I was nice.
Do you feel? You ask her.
Yeah, I asked her. I didn't just take her like an animal. I was very polite. Honey, do you feel like making love? Because I saw a movie.
Brian, you didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
But wait,
the movie was a great movie. Now, this is where she really got really angry. And I almost and she goes, no, I don't feel like making love. I said, okay, I was just trying to make you feel good and everything. I just wanted you. I go, well, fine. Now I don't even feel like making love. Now I'm pissed off.
Oh, good.
I came in there to try to help the situation and be a gentleman.
Well, when you ask her if she feels like making love, was that
sure.
after the fight?
I even took a bubble bath.
Was that why you were zipping down her blouse?
Well, bubbles clean everything.
Well,
go ahead, Mitch.
But, Brian, I have a question. When you
sure.
ask her about her feelings, if she feel okay to make love, was
right.
that after the fight? It wasn't a different
time. I kind of feeling it was during. I'm being really honest.
I just
wanted to throw in there because I thought it would calm
but,
it down.
Well, now you understand why she's saying no, right?
I don't understand why. I'm an attractive guy.
I understand, but the approach was wrong. I mean, she's mad. She feels you don't want to listen to her pain. And then you come around and say, hey, do you feel like making love? And she's like, what are you talking about?
We could talk about her pain during the lovemaking. We can kill two birds in one stone. This is in my head. It's time management.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Okay. But now you tell me.
No, Brian. You have to be able to give first in order to receive.
I was going to give.
And
we were going to give.
You weren't going
to
give
it. And we're hoping to receive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
There you go, Benny.
Oh, yeah. You talking.
That's right.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Tell us what to do. I mean, you know, when we worked all week, it's Friday night, we come home, we, you know, how do you start that? Oh, come here. You know, what do you, you know, what's a good thing to do?
That's right.
Again. Well, Brian, at least I'm proud that you got the first part good.
Thank you.
And I do feel like you do care about women.
I love
them. Happen to be. Yes, I can hear that by the way you express yourself.
Oh, I love
however,
you. How much do you love me right now?
I love. I think you have a character. You
cool.
like the personality.
All right. Don't you get crazy on me. You'll fall in love and start stalking me on Facebook.
Well, I'm already in love, you know.
Yeah, but we'll have them. Who cares? I'm sorry, I'm sensitive. Oh, okay.
No.
But,
no.
Okay, on a serious note, and, so we covered that. Communication is the key. Know when to try to fix things after she has expressed what was on her mind. Don't rush into it. Listen to her feelings. Read her body language. Am I correct here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much more than her body language, because that will do more with men.
Mm-hmm.
See, it, with women is more when she talks and she says, she communicates to you what she wants by telling you what she doesn't want. That's what you need to pay attention. I don't want you to talk to me.
That's confusing.
I want you.
It
is confusing.
Confusing.
It is. But once you get it, you get to understand that we don't communicate directly like men, especially men, they are more in their masculine energy. They're more into saying what I want
mm-hmm.
and what I think.
Okay.
And
can I ask
women,
you a question? Go ahead. I'm
yes.
listening. No, this is an important thing. I like to hear that. Go ahead.
No, and women, if they're in the feminine, because
right.
there's a lot of women that are more in their masculine, so they will tell you what they want and think. But if they're in the feminine side of themselves, they will tell you what they don't want and what they feel.
Now, the really...
Mm-hmm.
I keep interrupting you, I'm sorry, because there's a good point, so I'm going to be quiet. Go ahead. You can follow up on it.
No, I
really want to ask you a serious question, because when is it a good time to suggest another woman join you in the bedroom?
Oh, yeah.
There you go, Betty.
I mean, it all depends. I mean, do you have a partner? Do you think your partner, at this point, I don't know how long you've been with your partner, but is it you should know by now if this is something that she will be open to do.
Yeah, I said that in the beginning when I met her. I love you. You look great. Hey, maybe in the future we can have a girl join us in bed. What do you think? She goes, okay. And that's after a couple of drinks, but I held her to it.
Okay, but how long have you been with her now?
At that time? Oh, I've been with her now. Oh, God, this is another fight we got into about 2 weeks ago. I got to get it right, even if she's not here because of pressure. I think 10 years.
Oh, that's a long run.
Exactly. Now you know why I want another woman in the bedroom. We can look at her body. Because, you know, after 10 years, things happen to a woman in their body, and maybe you get a and see, I just don't want to have sex with the other woman. That would be wrong.
Okay.
But I don't mind looking at her body as live porn.
But who's going to make love to who?
Maybe me being a gentleman, I will step out of the picture and watch her make love to the other woman.
Do you think she's open to that?
With a little bit of alcohol, I think maybe it's a possibility.
So you want her to be a little drunk, huh?
Well, yeah, I don't call it junk. Drunk, I just call it...
A little drink.
Wasted, yeah. But that is the most common fantasy, on a serious note. That is the most common fantasy in relationships, and I think sometimes that can destroy a relationship. And I believe that it's not so much that man invites another woman into the relationship. It's more or less that the woman feels that she's, well, you need another woman to please you? I'm not good enough for you? Is that the communication that's in her head?
Well, first of all, if all you want is to watch two beautiful women making love,
they could be an ugly. I'm not prejudiced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can put an ugly one in there. She needs help.
Okay, but I'm sure you'll find something beautiful about the ugly one, right? That's the point. Something.
Well, yeah, because I'm looking at one particular area, and you could not tell between a beautiful woman and that area or an ugly woman. I mean...
Hey, yes, you can tell.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, Betty.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
Amen.
However, what she doesn't need to communicate with her. You just have to tell her, honey, you know, I would like to, what do you think if we do that? And get an answer from her, you know. It's like, if you tell her what you just told me, that you don't want to touch her, you don't have any intention to do that, but you just want to see the fantasy.
If she said how much is going to cost me.
She's going to do it for free, right? You're going to find a girl? What, are you going to pay for that?
Well, no. Me personally, I've never... I mean, you're going to pay one way or the other. Come on now. Get real.
Well, if your girlfriend is open, because that's one thing, and you
can
express...
Oh, she's open, but she's very rich, so I can't pay.
You just have to communicate straightforward. It's being very specific that it's not that you're interested on the other person. You just want to look like as if you were watching a Playboy movie, kind of something sexual, sensual, if you want to make it a little harder, but if you say Playboy, it sounds a little less aggressive for women to listen, to hear that, you know? And
go ahead.
You should be fine if you do that.
You know what I see? You know what I find a problem of intimacy is? Women do not let the men play with their toys.
Women don't let men play with their toys.
Yes. Kids, you're not supposed to be listening to the show. Your segment is over. Okay. Now, what I'm saying is that ladies have men helpers.
They have what?
Sex toys. He's trying to say sex toys. Say it.
Sex,
it's okay.
Thank you. And I find that you women are very selfish with your toys. Now, do you find that this is a problem? That you think that, honey, here's a toy. Let me teach you how to work it because you know us. We're painting the house and everything. Don't you think that's another participation kind of thing?
What do you mean toy?
Well, you know, like you have a vibrator.
Okay.
Now, wouldn't it be so sexy that you have your man saying, honey, lay down, and you're there with your cucumbers over your eyes and everything, and you got a facial and your hair's in a towel. I'm sorry, that's my fantasy. But and then she's laying down, and then you're gently giving her a little massage, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oops, there goes another rubber band.
What is the question?
The question is, women do not feel comfortable for men to participate in this sport.
Yes.
Oh, no,
yes.
I find that
and there is a difference. Because look at how the men's body is made. You know, it's something hanging there. But women know our bodies.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh.
Right?
You make it sound so gross. You make it sound so, well, something hanging
like
there.
Hey, I like it. I have no problem with that. But the
thank
truth
you.
Is, it is what it is. But women, is everything is kind of inside, kind of exposed when we open our legs. So it's kind of private, you know. It's kind of a little uncomfortable.
Well, how private can it be? We're eating it, we're rubbing it, we're touching it, we're banging it. How private is it?
Well, I guess you need sometimes alcohol will do, and it depends on the woman. We don't know if the person, this woman or whatever woman we're talking about, what is the wound in her? What happened in her past? You see, because for years, for generations, we know that. Men were more in touch with their sexuality than women were supposed to be. And that shows.
That is true. Well, you know, our time is up, Miss Elena Burnett. Are you available tomorrow?
Yes. What is tomorrow? Saturday?
Tomorrow. You know what? I don't work on Saturday, but for you, I would work for Saturday. If you're
tomorrow,
available Saturday, I'd like to do a whole hour on you.
Wonderful.
I'd like to do
yes.
two.
Betty. Betty.
I like his sense of humor, huh?
You gotta love Vinny. Vinny is a ladies' man.
Vinny.
He's a man's man.
Yes.
He knows
to say the right thing in the right moment.
He sure does.
Yeah, that's what my mother said.
So are you available tomorrow, or would you like to go Monday? Because I really would like to talk on some really interesting topics with you.
Yes, why don't we do Monday? Would that work for you?
That would work for me. Kelly, can you set Miss Barnett up for Monday? Would Monday at the same time, let's say 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, would that work for me? Are you?
Make it work.
And while I have you, please tell us your links and your Facebook page where people can get a hold of you.
Yes. They can visit me at www.lovelifesolution.com. Or they can also find me on my Facebook page, which is Love Life Solution 2, right? And or my blog. Let me see, because I don't have it in my head, the blog. You said it before better than I did.
Oh, okay. Let me get in here. Elena Burnett. Again, you guys, she's an international dating coach. She's an expert. She specializes in communication and strategy, working with women, helping them to understand the heart and the mind of different types of men. She's from France, so she knows about love. And she speaks Spanish, so she knows about the hot Latin lovers. She has English. She lives all over the world. And she's there to help, and we didn't touch on really important things. And she has worked as a counselor to men and women for more than 15 years. She has been a student of Dr. Pat. I don't know who Dr. Pat is, but if you're a student of Dr. Pat, you should be proud. Let's see. You can see more on Elena at www.youtube.com/702/Elena. That's Elena. www.facebook.com/lovelifesolutions and www.elena. That's Elena coach coach dot blog blogspot.com.
Wonderful.
She is coming on the show Monday. You're coming on the show Monday, right? Am I direct enough
yes.
for you? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I love you to death, and you think about me over the weekend because we have some questions to answer, young lady.
Wonderful. I'll be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the coach, Elena Burnett.
Gracias.
I'll see you Monday, sweetheart. We're going to start our little show. We started 5 minutes late, and I so much apologize to Ms. Melissa Alto.
Hello.
Would you like me to play your opening theme right now, and then I'll have you take it right after your theme?
Sure. Did you pick one, or do you want me to pick one?
I think you gave me one. I got two from last night.
Why don't you play the first one that I sent you, and then we'll play the Arlo Guthrie one later, which is really funny.
Actually, you know, I listened to that, and I loved it. I loved it to death.
Was that not hilarious, the whole bit on the FBI? I was
that
dying.
That was
I
hilarious.
Was,
right.
Yeah, we have to play that. And it's so seasonal because it's about Santa.
Right. And we're going to play it a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. The name of your show, Melissa?
Is The Skeptic.
Because
I'm skeptical.
We'll be right back with your host, Melissa Alto.
Oh!
Hello. Well, it's Friday, and this is my first show. I'm a little nervous. But we have two guests today, and the first guest is somebody who was supposed to be here yesterday, but she unfortunately couldn't make it, so we're having her back. Her name is Sylvia Martinez-Johnson, and she has a production company that's currently developing several Hispanic TV shows. And she owns her own production company, but she's also a businesswoman, and she has an autographed financial book to give away. We're also going to have Ann Smith, the executive editor of the Hacker News, and also editor of whattheFreally.com, which is a very interesting site itself. And she's going to be here to talk about technology, Palestine, and we're going to talk about the news in general. So first, let's talk to Sylvia. Sylvia, are you there?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Sorry about yesterday.
No problem. What happened?
Oh, just got my days conflicted. When I work 7 days a week, just got my days messed up.
Yeah, we figured you were doing something very, really important, so. So tell me a little bit about your career, because I looked you up a little bit, and you're also a very successful real estate agent.
Yes, I have. I did my production in acting in my younger years and then put it on hold to do my day job, then became very successful, and then now the market fell, so I'm going back to my passion. And so I'm developing a couple of shows and productions that I have in the works, and so I'm excited.
That's excellent. Can you tell me a little bit more about the production company that you started and why you started it?
Well, as you know right now, the number one growing Hispanic, the minority community is now the majority, which is a Hispanic Latin group, and it's now or never. And with the media, with all of the different people that are representing us, I felt it's time to get a better and real representation.
Right, represented by your own community, own your own media, so the message is authentic.
Exactly, and we don't all have accents.
Well, yeah, exactly. There are many kinds of Hispanic people, and I'm sure that the media likes to portray just a very limited range. So can you tell me something about the TV shows that you're developing?
Yes, it's pretty much of my life, and it's a successful career-oriented woman married to a husband who's a blue-collar job, and it's a growing family because I've had to inherit different kids from different siblings and just showing the chaos of my life.
Is it a reality show or is this going to be a scripted show?
No, it's a sitcom. It's a sitcom.
Oh, excellent. So how do you want to tell me how you inherited your extra children? It sounds like a very interesting story.
Yes. I had two sisters who have died, and I've inherited their kids. I never had children. I dedicated myself to being a professional businesswoman, successful, and through the hard knocks of life, I had no choice but to work, work, work. And as my sister that I was very close to, she wanted me to take over her kids and inherit them and finish raising them. So I did. That was 8 years ago. And then just recently this summer, I had another one who passed away, and I have her children now. And
wow.
It's been a roller coaster life. And that's when I said, you know what, I have to provide. I have to do something big because I'm really tired and bored, and I need to challenge myself once again and take advantage that the market is what it is and, you know, make some comedy out of it and enjoy life and at the same time provide for these children.
That's fantastic.
So it kind of shows you that regardless of your background, regardless of your situation, you can still rise above it.
That's excellent. I have a tattoo actually on my left wrist, and it says, "This too shall pass." And it's something that I look at over and over again whenever life gets very difficult. And it's just a reminder that, you know, nothing lasts forever, even the difficult times.
No, no. And that's what my last sister told me. She's like, go do and pursue what your passion has always been. And she was my number one fan, and I'm doing this in her honor. And that's why I decided to do this. And I said, okay, it's going to be now or never. So it's a combination of that and a movie and a reality show that I'm going, that I'm coming in full force. I don't have time to waste anymore. I've put my passion and my desires on hold for my family and for my clients and my business. And now it's time to think of me.
That's excellent. And that's also a great example for the children that you are in care of, because they're going to see that you're doing what you love and you're being successful at it and enjoying it. So that's amazing. Can you tell me, you're going to do a three-prong approach. You're going to do a film. Is that going to be a documentary, or is that going to be also like a fiction-based film?
No, just like a nice, realistic comedy movie, just to kind of enlighten people that we are not just the typical stereotype of the Hispanic culture, but we are also professionals, we are also successful, and we are born here. We are not, you know, just arrived here and have an accent, and by fluke we've made success. So it's hard work and suffering and education, and by surrounding yourself with the right people where you can get to the next level, whatever level that is for you.
So you're also going to do a reality show. Can you tell me that, something about that? Have you started production on that yet?
No, I'm in the early stages. Like I said, I had to get used to my new life with the kids, so getting the kids enrolled in school. I've been writing in the middle of the night, wee hours in the morning, just stuff, ideas that have always been lingering in my mind, and now I'm putting it together. And so the reality show is going to be about new entrepreneurs that don't have a helping hand. It's going to be kind of coaching and assisting and guiding the new generation of Hispanic business people that don't have someone that they can run to, someone in their immediate family or friends or sphere of influence that have done it. And so I kind of want to help this new generation by assisting them, and it's going to be showing them from what they've already done on their own, their pitfalls, and then kind of going in there and bringing in the right sources to get them to the next level.
That is so needed. It's so important, because there are other resources out there, but not necessarily for these communities, and it's necessary if you want to navigate be successful in this, in the business world. You need to know where to get grants, where to get loans, what you need to, you know, to have to get those loans.
Absolutely. And no one helped me when I was doing my stuff. No one guided me. I've had to learn the hard way. It's costed me money, tears, time, and when you have all the strikes against you, being young, being a minority, being a woman, and kind of looking cute, it does not help. It does not help. So I've had all the strikes against me, and I've made it in my own little way. And if I could help someone, or someone can learn from some of my mistakes, then I guess at the end it was all worth it.
Yeah, that's really necessary. I think a lot of people, especially if you don't have the, you know, standard resources or education, kind of do it themselves, entrepreneurship, do end up, you know, in situations where they end up spending too much money, or they're not prepared enough, or they don't see and plan, you know, far enough into the future. And it ends up, you know, taking their one shot and sort of costing.
Absolutely, because haters are haters. And when you are a threat to people already doing it, they're not going to extend a helping hand. On the contrary, they're going to laugh and be happy that you're falling, and that, you know, certain things that they could have helped to avoid certain items, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And unfortunately, the world is made of a lot of people like that, and it's unfortunate that we live in this society nowadays.
Well, I think what will happen is if there are more communities who are serving themselves, you know, Hispanic communities serving their own communities and all business needs, urban communities doing the same thing, and even rural communities keeping their businesses local, I think that's going to change. I think
absolutely.
You know,
and I just really got tired of turning on the television, going to a movie, going to see these ads and everything, and, you know, no offense to anyone out there listening, but I got sick and tired of it being black and white. I got sick and tired of it. And that's not what we all are. You know, we all have some of us have some color, some of us have, you know, differences, and that needs to be represented. And it's now. It's today.
And it needs to be represented also in a positive fashion that
absolutely
lifts everybody up. You know, there's representation out there, but it's not necessarily positive.
Exactly. And that's what I got tired of. I got tired of all these gangs and drugs and all this abuse, you know, whether it's children or to women or abusing the system, whatever it is, you know, it's time to voice and stand up.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're also going to do a sitcom. Have you thought about how you're going to distribute this? Are you going to self-distribute it, self-sort of broadcast it? Are you going to go for a major broadcast or try and get it on the cable station?
Yes, I'm going to go for a major broadcast. I've hooked up with some good people already, and we're working on the logo. We're working on the whole concept and putting it together with my writer and my marketing person. So I've dedicated myself to this. I mean, I love the real estate business. It's a great day job, but I have to move on. I have more kids to provide, and the message needs to be sent across internationally that America is composed of good people. We are in a very good country, and we have been spoiled, and a lot of the values and morals have been lost. But we can get that back together and showing some good positive shows on TV versus all this garbage and ghetto and fighting and stupidity.
Right, something that inspires people to actually succeed instead of depressing them.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens a lot these days. It's you turn on and most reality shows, I have to applaud you, your reality show is, you know, refreshing because most reality shows are, well, there's the Honey Boo Boos and there's the Real Housewives, and there's everything in between that that just basically is the worst examples of how we can act as human beings. Really nice to hear that there's something coming, you know, out that is actually going to inspire people and educate them with anything. You know, this is an example of how to be successful.
Well, that's what I've decided to do, and my mom came from, you know, another country, and she told me to work hard and get out of the kitchen, stay out of the kitchen, work hard, get a job, and follow your passion. And as I was doing it, I saw her working 2 to 3 jobs and selling tamales at the grocery store, and it just broke my heart. So I just kept working, 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 and then before you know it, you know, my sisters were dying and the market fell and life is too short. Life is too short and I want to fulfill my passion and my dream and I'm doing it now, you know.
Wow, that's excellent. And I wish you every success because that's pretty amazing. Can you tell me a little bit about the book that we're going to give away?
Yes. When I was filling out my profile, and it was an item in there, and one of my dear friends wrote the book, okay, and we did business
mm-hmm.
together, so I don't want to misinterpret anyone or, you know, let everybody know that it was me or that I was lying, because it wasn't, it was just the way I had to word it in the form, the request form. My friend wrote the book, and it's an excellent financial tool for people to get their credit together, know about the mortgage business, how important the credit score is, being credit worthiness. And it's like, again, nobody tells you, no one helps you, everybody keeps it hush-hush, people are greedy where they want to keep it to themselves. So my dear friend wrote the book, and that's when I called upon him, and I said, I need some, and I need for you to autograph them. So in reality, it's his book, and I recommend it, and that is why I am encouraging people to grab it.
Okay, well, what's his name? And what we'll do is I'll let Brian give the book away on Monday. Brian, are you there?
I am here.
Yes. So I'll let you give the book away on Monday, and we'll find out more information about the author and do a little blurb about him and do that on Monday. How's that sound?
That sounds great. That sounds great to me. We'll also put it on Zipper One, the blog that we have, and put her book on there and post her link so they can get the book. Can I ask a question? Is it a self-publishing book, or is she with the publisher, Melissa?
Publisher? Who's the publisher?
I don't have that with me. I can get it for you, and I can send it in the link.
Cool, that would be great. And, you know, so who is the author, by the way?
His name is Henry Alegría.
Henry?
Alegría.
Awesome.
Alegría. Not Allegra, Alegría.
Alegría. Okay, Alegría.
Yes.
Excellent. And what's the name of the book?
No, I do not. I don't have it in front of me because I don't want to give the wrong title, but he's my author, my friend, and he's the one that produced it.
All right, so we'll do it on Monday. We'll just get the information, and we'll do that on Monday. So I have another question for you, and that is about the housing market and the economy, just in general, because I guess you know very well how everything's been going. Have you seen any recovery? Because I know every now and then you look in the paper and there's a blip on the housing market where they're like, oh, look, there's an increase in this sector. And but overall, have you seen any signs of recovery? And what is your prediction for the next year or two in the housing market?
We have hit rock bottom. There's still thousands of foreclosures that are coming through the pipeline, but for the most part, the values have come down tremendously from what they were back in the 2006, 7, and 8, and so they are slowly coming back up. It's not going to be overnight because it slowly came down, and it has to go back up eventually in the next couple of years. But if you are interested in purchasing and investing, it's the time now. 18, 19 years ago when I got my real estate license, these were the prices of the homes that we're selling at. And now here we are selling them again. So they will go back up, and it's something that your kids will inherit. And obviously it's cheaper than renting, where people are paying astronomical rents. Because of the foreclosures, owners have decided to go up on their rental price. So now the renters...
Oh, interesting.
So now the owners are asking for 2 to 3 months security deposits, depending on where you're located, and also the rents are more than what an actual mortgage payment would be. So,
but it's the credit thing.
Yes. The credit.
Our standards are much higher now to get a mortgage.
Absolutely, but if you do your homework and you are patient and you want to own a home, it can be possible. You have to slowly clean up your credit, take care of your issues that are stopping you from purchasing, and you have to get on a payment plan, pay it off, and or write letters to the credit bureaus, because sometimes people don't realize that there's items from 10, 15 years ago. You co-signed for a relative, you forgot to pay a small insignificant bill, and you don't check your credit report. You don't check to see where you stand. So, yes, the requirements have gotten a little bit higher and stiffer, but not impossible. It's just gone back to the way it used to be, being conservative.
Melissa, you have a question for Sylvia. Jose, would you like to take it? It's up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Jose, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing? How you doing, guys?
Good. Fine,
Jose.
So go ahead, Jose. What's your question?
Well, I don't have a question. I have a comment that I do agree with Ms. Martina Johnson, that the programming, I'm going away from the book a little bit or the real estate, but I do agree with her that the programming nowadays is a lot about a lot of violence and negativity. There's only a sprinkled few shows that do show about people that do good things out there, a good positive show and stuff. But with people like her that are coming new into the industry, that are motivated and are committed to what they believe in and are, you know, willing to handle the struggles that are going to come, you know, her way, our way as Latinos, as a whole group, as a nation. But slowly but surely, doors are being opened, and I do applaud and agree with her.
You get there.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and people don't realize that we've been here. We had California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. We owned it. So.
Right. But you know what? I mean, this will be a whole different show.
Absolutely.
But, right, right. But the bottom line, what I'm about to say, is not in a negative way, but it's all our fault because we haven't spoken loud enough for the world to hear us. You know what I'm saying? If we make noise and say, listen, we're here. We've been here all this time.
Absolutely.
You know, then they'll say, okay, yeah, they've been here. They've been quiet. You know that saying that the squeaky oil gets the oil? Well,
yep.
Everybody else is thinking. Everybody's been hollering except us. But, you know, slowly but surely, we do our thing, and, you know, and cream rises to the top. I'm getting one.
Absolutely.
But I do believe in what you're trying to put together. So when the show, the program is off, then you know, we can talk a little bit better about a little bit more about the show, the programming, the casting, which way you're going about it. And, you know, I think that with my looks and your intelligence, I think that we can go far. That was a little joke.
Okay.
That's excellent.
Exactly.
All right. The real estate business. And then on a different note, on the real estate business, I think that the next couple of years, I know that you're very positive and you're in the mix. I am not. I'm an owner, and I purchased before, and I've this and that. But the way the economy is going in the next couple of years, with all the medical things that are changing, and all the Congress and politics people that are going back and forth and bickering, and they don't want to straighten anything out. I think that it might just get a little bit worse.
Right, Jose.
Because there's not going to be any. There's not going to be.
You know, let me bring Ann Smith in here. She's the executive editor of the Hacker News and the website whatthefreally.com. And she's got a lot of opinions on what goes on in the economy and in technology and news in general. So, hey, Ann, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. How are you? Roxy,
great.
Hello.
How's our friend Roxy?
She's fabulous. We're talking about my cat. How cliche is that? But Anne, what's your opinion of what's going on in the housing market and the economy and mortgages in general?
Oh gosh. Well, the Hacker News just deals with internet security and hacking issues. Is this monitored? What words can you use on this show?
Brian, how vulgar can you get?
Well, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
Put it down, Ann.
All right, so What the Fuck Really News covers more of global and, international and national news. So we have... news on that subject. I agree with the caller. Who knows with the state of the economy. I have been waiting now. My survival food is getting stale, waiting for this collapse that's supposed to happen, you know. Now, of course, the housing market collapsed, but they keep talking about this, collapse is going to come and we're all going to be have to go to FEMA camps and all this other stuff, and it hasn't happened. So, you know, I never really know what's going on because I think we're being constantly deceived by our government. So you never really know.
What do you think of that, Sylvia?
I have to make each day the best that I possibly can, and I honestly watch the news but don't watch it. I just go through what my local area is and call me naive and stupid, whatever. But I have to focus on me and my immediate family, my immediate money coming in, and worry about what is dear to me. I can't wait for the government to dictate to me, oh, go do this, go do that. I don't live like that. I go with what I feel in my heart. I already see the prices going up. I do see a lot of people buying homes that they couldn't afford before mm-hmm. because it was too high. So if that house was $300, now it's affordable for them to buy it at $100, $120. And now we took someone from the projects into a single-family home into a nice, better environment for their family. So
oh, yeah.
I can't change the world. I can only change what's within front of me. And through my project with my television, I can hopefully enhance some positive because all this negativity and all of this bashing the government, we're a rich country. We are free. We have voices. We are able to vote. We have opportunities. So people can
sit back. I guess she hasn't heard of Goldman Sachs recently. That's the new government, I hate to tell you.
Okay, but my new government pays my bills. I have to go provide for my family. I have a lot of kids. I have a business to run. I have to take care and be positive with me in my own control.
Jose, what do you think?
Survival mode. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. We're always in survival mode. This is good for these people at Midwest. They don't. We're always in survival mode. So, you know, this crunch really didn't affect us.
Here in Jersey, right, Vinny?
I think there's a lot of people unemployed. You know, when unemployment numbers are in the 10-11%.
Those numbers are not as accurate, to be honest with you. And the unemployment, seriously, we may not want to clean houses, we may not want to clean toilets or cut grass or remove the snow, but there's jobs out there. They're not going to pay you what we're accustomed to, but by golly gee, it's a lot more than these other poor countries.
I think this
we have running water.
Romney. Did
huh?
you vote for Romney?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's a kind of a conservative view. I would say that, you know, if you want to talk to the millions and millions of people who are out there on food stamps for the first time in their lives because they can't afford to live, there's something called the working poor. And America, those numbers have soared in America. Those are people who are working in, you know, minimum wage jobs that you're talking about, two and three of them, some of them, just to provide for their families. And yet, if you noticed in the news today that Hostess set about giving their executives a bonus while they were laying off 60,000 people. So,
Twinkie.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Totally
well, and then also the fast food industry, all of the, you know, in New York City and across the nation, people were walking out yesterday for, you know, having an unlivable
right.
wage.
I mean,
you know, you work at McDonald's and you're on food stamps. There's something not.
Follow that picture. Years
what was
ago,
that,
you could have just walked down the street, walked a block or two, and got a job. Today, forget about it. You can't get nothing. You can't even get an application anymore.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
But find yourself, be creative, look at ways of a way to make money. Believe me, you can make money.
Oh, I know that. But
not everybody who's on food stamps.
Vinny knows that's for real.
Could I ask a question?
Go ahead, Brian.
Sure, why not?
Okay, great. I'll keep this brief. First of all, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to thank you, Jose. You brought up a great question, too. If you have to sum up the problems in the Hispanic, the Latin community, as far as job-wise, as far as motivation, is there a lot, and I agree with Jose, what he said, that the voice is silent. They've always been there. but the voice has not been heard. What do you think? I'll ask Sylvia. I know this is your show, Melissa. I just wanted to do this one question. I want to ask Sylvia, what do you think the problem is? And the programming, I know you have some channels that you're launching, too. I know you have programming and radio TV stations for the Hispanic community also. So can you elaborate on it? What is the problem? Why is it silent, and why are we just hearing these negative images on TV regarding the Latino community?
A lot of different factors have influenced it. Some of the kids that were born here, some of us worked hard, saw the struggles that our parents had, and worked hard. Others just were lazy, were spoiled, and chose not to work hard to, they conformed, they satisfied, per se, and they took the easy way out. Sometimes we are not pushed to our fullest by our parents. Our parents obviously are big influence and are our role models, and we mimic and mirror them. So sometimes the parents that are cleaning the houses and janitors and cutting grass, they don't strive for higher jobs or higher positions, or they think that that's out of their league. And it's not true. We can cross those boundaries and go to those better hiring jobs, except for they're not educated as to these grants that are available, as to positive role models in their local community that can help push them and assist them with helping them. Everybody turns to the gangs and to the free and to the free food stamps and free pay my bills and free backpacks and this. I thank God I've never had to ask for any of that. Even with all my children, I've chosen to work hard. And I've worked 2 to 3 jobs, and I've always had means to provide. And I have my pride, and I have my attitude where I am leaving that for those that really do need it. There's a lot of people on the system that shouldn't be on the system because I see it. I've seen investors buy the properties, meaning they buy the properties and they put their relatives, and then now they're living rent-free through Section 8. But yet they're working a regular job. How they qualify, how they get these vouchers, I have no idea. But it's unfortunate that there's flaws in the system that don't regulate and monitor them. There's realtors that are illegal, and they've gotten the real estate license. There's mortgage people that are illegal, and they got their mortgage license. Who regulates all of that? I have no idea. But the point is that we as Hispanics have to voice, we have to have some good role models, and that will help change the mentality and inspire some of these newer, younger generations that don't have accents, and that they can be somebody that they never dreamed of being.
Thank
Did I lose
you.
Everybody?
Sylvia, can I ask you one question? You keep stressing having no accents. Why is that an important part of your message?
Because right now one of the highest paid comedians, kudos to her, I respect her, but, you know, she's Sofia Vergara, she's got the accent, she's on Modern Family, and everybody's now, it's been a wake-up call for the Hispanic voice and for the Hispanic community and for the television and media and so forth, and it's a shame that we have to use that to have some type of spotlight on us. And when my mom would go to the bank and she would want to make a deposit, they would frown on her just because they were making fun of her because they couldn't understand her accent or understand her English. But she tried. She speaks English. She has an accent, but she tries. Some other people don't. They don't want to learn another language. They refuse, and they go to the local areas where they only speak Spanish. And we are in America. We should be speaking English. And if you have another nationality, a language to learn, embrace it. Learn it. Learn as much as you can. Learn 4 languages, 3 languages. That'll just help you get that job.
So you don't think that the country should be, I'm just going to ask you a question that I think is really interesting. You don't think that the country should be bilingual? I mean, you do say that you guys
Absolutely.
Have been here a long time before, you know, the rest of America was here.
And I think that the country should be bilingual. I think it's shameful that we're one of the only countries in the world that doesn't have, you know, at least two languages.
Absolutely. But you can't have it everywhere, unfortunately. The reality is it's going to take time for it to be changed. Signs, manuals, blah, blah, blah. So you have to learn two languages. You have to know two languages to be able to survive. That's all I'm saying with our Hispanics coming in, even the Polish, even the Chinese. All of these immigrating nationalities should be able to learn English and obviously never forget their roots and their culture. Embrace it all. Learn, soak it up, and take advantage of everything because this is America. That's why everybody's coming here. So all the opportunities are there. We just have to get up and go find them and search for them.
Ryan, what do you think?
Well, I think both you guys have great
points. I can't let the economy control
here.
Me. I have to go out and make my own economy. Very simple.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds like, okay, everybody, you know, let's rise up. In a perfect world, it sounds fantastic. The problem of it is, and it's just my opinion, the jobs that are available, the immigration problem that we have here. I think the Hispanic community bought into that. They're fighting it. I mean, when you're fighting, saying, hey, you know what, we're legal, and you're bunching us in with illegals and blah, blah, blah. They're busy fighting a politic war and not trying to fight the economy war. Does that make sense with you, Sylvia?
Yes and no, because if you looked at the numbers that helped Obama win, that was 70% of the Hispanic vote.
Yeah, but also the Republicans were doing great for you when Bush was in office because the Hispanic vote was very high in the Republican in the GOP. It was very high.
Yes, but it kept us at a minimal position.
It did, but what blew
exactly. So when Clinton came on board, it changed and opened up doors.
Clinton
very
did.
He opened up more than doors.
But the problem of it is I'm black, Sylvia. The problem
okay.
that I have is the black community is divided within itself. Do you feel the Hispanic community are at war with itself?
Yes, because some of these children that were born here, like myself, I've seen them. They frown upon their culture. They don't even want to speak the language, Spanish, and they get embarrassed. And they act, excuse my language, or, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but they try to act like they're white. You know, like they're better than those that have an accent and better than those that don't, that speak two languages. Shame on them. Shame on their parents. Because
I'm from the Italians.
Huh? And yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, I'm Italian. We are my family went through the same thing.
I know.
My grandmother couldn't go out because she couldn't read the street signs or anything.
They thought that because if you spoke another language, you're an outcast. I grew up in a white neighborhood. I was Hispanic. I was the only different shade. They loved me. They embraced me. But I had to grow up real quickly and realize that I had a different skin color and I spoke a different language and they were very intrigued by me. While they were going to Walt Disney and Disney World, Disneyland, Disney World, I was picking cucumbers, tomatoes, and peppers in Wisconsin working the field. And that totally, totally changed my life. And I said, okay, I'm not doing this. My parents can do it. My uncles can do it. I'm made for bigger and better. And
well, you got to get these kids to listen to you.
Huh?
You got to get these kids to listen to you.
Exactly.
Get them away
exactly.
from the computer. Get them away from the TV.
Exactly.
Or if they're watching TV, send that message.
Absolutely. And that is why, unfortunately, we had to fit in so we would pretend that we didn't speak another language. We wanted to belong, so we tried to dress and mimic how they lived and had to do what we had to do.
Well, that's the problem with kids today. They want to be what they're not. I was with somebody the other day. The girl was from South Jersey, and she acted more black than the black person I was with. I mean, come on. Look in the mirror, see who you are, and,
exactly.
and that's it, man. Who you are is what you are, and make the best of it.
And it goes back to the parents. I know the parents have to work hard, but at the same time, we have the responsibility. We brought these kids into this world. We have to show them what's right and wrong. And our values have gone down. Now all of these teens are having kids, kids are having kids, and now their grandmas at 30s, in their 30s. Well, it's just sad. It's really, really sad. So I can't change the world, but I hope to change one or two lives. And I'm starting with my own nephews and nieces that I inherited, and they've been a blessing, and I have to provide for them. So I can't wait for the government to change rules. I have to make my own changes within my own local area. That's all I'm saying. And if we all are positive, the positive goes a long way. Helping someone, tomorrow someone will be there to help you. And I might be old school, I might be too religious or too naive, but I still own my business for being nice. I still own my business for having ethics and values and morals. So I don't see these new generations. They don't even want to work. They expect instant gratification. They think they're owed when they're not owed shit.
Melissa, can I ask one more question?
And I'll bow out.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I don't want to take your show. I just have, and I'd like to also ask a question for Anne. I know she's been waiting patiently. Sylvia, can you tell me what kind of programming that you're doing as far as TV shows, and this is what you came on for to promote your project?
We talked about that at the beginning, Brian.
I was in the bathroom. Yeah, well, I was having a beer. We call it a beer.
You
know what? I'm out. Sylvia, and I enjoyed her book is What the F, and I am out. Thank you, Melissa, for letting me come on your show. I'm going back in my corner now.
No, Brian, you don't have to go back in your corner. So, Sylvia, we're going to talk to Anne for a little bit. I'd love for you to stick around if you can and join in the conversation. But we're going to switch topics now. Thank you very much for coming on. One last thing before we switch. Tell everyone where we can reach you, either online or on social media.
The website and my that's being developed, but it's going to be called Spanglish TV and Film Production Company.
Spanglish.
I know I didn't want to say too much, but I'm so excited. And like I said, we're in the beginning developing stages. So haters have always been with me all my life because I sold a lot of real estate. I've always done successful business. And I just learned through the hard knocks, and I'm just trying to be numb at everything so I don't say more than what I should. But that's
okay.
Where you'll
all
see
right.
It. Okay.
So the website is, you don't have a website yet, or you do?
So it's in development. It's going to be Spanglish TV and Film Production Company.
Okay. So Spanglish, Okay, so you don't have a URL yet. Okay, well, can you do us a favor when you do launch your site? Can you come back on and tell us what it is and talk to us again?
Absolutely, would love it.
Yes, awesome. All right, so let's talk to Anne Smith. She's a friend of mine. I owe her a picture of me in a pink sari. Long story. and she loves my cat. It's very weird.
Yes, I do.
But she is also the executive.
I'm sorry. It was my own little joke in my head. Go ahead.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for Vinny to say something.
We all love
but
your cat.
And,
so for the listeners, I was in India and I brought Melissa a sari. And she's supposed to send me a picture of her in the sari, but she hasn't done that yet because this is what the reality is, listeners. She can't figure out how to put it on. So
I can't.
She needs an Indian woman to come over to her house and show her how to put it on.
Oh,
I tried the YouTube videos. I look like a badly rolled paper roll. It was not pretty.
It looks really complicated. You know, I watched the women there. I mean, obviously, they can get them on really easily, but I think it is a process.
Yeah. So, Anne, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and
we're going to talk a little bit about technology and Palestine.
All right. Those are two far-reaching subjects that don't really match up well since, you know, Palestine, we think of Syria. We can think of Syria, who is now on Internet shutdown.
Right.
Well, I was the executive editor of the Hacker News, and that was kind of the leader in establishing news for hackers and for Internet security. It was founded by Mohit Kumar out of India. And so anything to do with, you know, what's happening in the world with the Internet, that's a really good resource. And I still am a contributing editor to that publication, and then also now work for What the Fuck Really News as a contributing editor. And that website is more global news, not just specific to one particular topic. So I encourage people who are interested in the revolution and interested in the government being better to visit both sites, because they'll learn a lot. So that, you know, got me into understanding technology a little bit better, since I wouldn't consider myself a tech person, but it certainly opened the doors for that. And so I don't know where you want to go from there. But
yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about technology and what's going on with Syria right now. And then we can also talk about how social media has helped Palestine's image. I think those two topics will pretty much cover everything we need today.
Great. Excellent.
So Syria went off the map yesterday completely.
I
everything was gone.
Still off. Yeah, I think it's still off.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit more about that, what happened exactly?
Well, you know, this is the threat that we are all under, even by our own government. The shutdown of the Internet, and in the case of Syria and also in parts of India, they've used it when there's war so that the faction that the government's against cannot use the media to communicate or to rise up the people to support them. So, you know, they just literally shut it down. And this is a very serious threat to all of us, and that's why we should all rise in support of helping the Syrians regain their ability to communicate through the Internet. And, you know, coming from where we live, you can't take sides. You know, we're not going to take sides in this, but everyone should be able to communicate electronically. That's their right, as far as I'm concerned. And we should support their right to communicate, whether we agree or disagree with what their position on war is.
Mm-hmm. It's still offline. It's completely gone. And Anonymous has declared a cyber war on the Syrian government. What's the take on Anonymous's approach to dealing with the Syrian government? What do they think they're going to be able to do to help Syria get back online?
Well, I know that they made a huge impact on Israel when the bombing was going on in Gaza. They took down hundreds and thousands of sites, Israeli government sites. But Anonymous, you know, in order to make an impact, has to organize not organize in terms of having a leader and you know, those kinds of positions, but the strength in numbers needs to come together more in order to make a bigger impact. Because, yes, we're taking sites offline, but only temporarily. And, you know, for the listeners, you know, remember something, and always remember this. If you can write the code, you can hack the code. So this is a constant cat and mouse game. As soon as someone puts up a site, say a government puts up a site, you know, someone's going to be able to hack that. But then the government's going to be able to come in and, you know, recover from that. So we're constantly in a circle here. You know, you can't just shut things down. It's very difficult to do that. So, you know, until, you know, Anonymous can take over mainstream media, that would be an incredible feat for them to hit places like Goldman Sachs, people that are actually, you know, defrauding the world. You know, I don't know that just taking down sites one after the other is going to make that huge of an impact. Now, it will affect Syria because certainly once they take the site down, you've got to work on getting it back up, and that's a distraction. And I certainly don't discourage them from doing that. But I would like to see them strengthen to make a major impact.
Yeah, well, you know, having a media presence that is reachable, you know, to everyone everywhere is really important. And we've also seen that with Palestine and what has happened in recent days. The perception of Palestine during the last incursion has changed people's opinion significantly and increasingly over the last 10 years since people have been able to broadcast and report digitally and remotely from occupied territories. What's your opinion of what's gone on with Palestine's increasing change in perception?
Well, I think that what it's done is it's enlightened the digital world, the people who are using social media to understand what's happening historically, what's happened historically, and what's happening to them now. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that there is still a large percentage of people who use mainstream media as their main vehicle of being educated. And So, you know, there's this uprising of sympathy and empathy for the Palestinians, but it is still very imbalanced in terms of getting them the support and the help that they need. You know, they have too many sanctions from Israel to establish a decent economy, which is really what they need to do. They need to be able to produce goods and export those goods and import those goods, which they're not allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the financial wherewithal to establish any self-defense. You know, all their weapons come in illegally. You know, they need economic support, and they need, you know, they need to be acknowledged and allowed to grow as any company, excuse me, as any country should. And, you know, I think we're helping in that, but, you know, look what happened in the vote yesterday. The United States voted against Palestine having that seat. Now, you have the greatest nation in the world, supposedly, voting against that. What message does that send, you know, to people who are using the mainstream media as a way to educate themselves? They say, well, you know, if our government voted against it, the Palestinians must be very bad people because we don't want them at the table even without a vote. They didn't even get a vote. You know what I'm saying? They only got to do whatever that little minor role.
To observe. Basically. They've forever been an observer. So now they actually have a seat at the table. Now they actually, you know, can be a part of the, a significant part of the conversation.
They don't have a vote.
Yeah. The question is, are incremental changes okay? Are, you know, in helping the, you know, change the perception of Palestine, giving them a seat, maybe not giving them any power, is this all lip service or is this actually going to change anything?
Well, should we just ask the question, what good is the UN? I mean, started what, in 1945, has 193 members. Can we say the name Kofi Annan? I mean, you know, what is the UN doing? I mean, how did it help? Let's go back to Vietnam. What a horrible, disgusting war that was, and useless and senseless that war was. And where was the UN? I mean, do we just need to step back and ask ourselves, you know, what is the purpose, and, you know, how much are we gaining globally by having the UN? And, you know, when I hear the word UN, it doesn't inspire confidence in me that they're going to be able to negotiate anything that's going to be positive for war or for economics or politics or whatever. So, you know, I think fundamentally you have to have respect for that organization. I think a lot of people do not have respect for that organization. And as long as you have...
Yeah, I mean, I would say the UN's role basically is observer, because that's mostly what they've done. They've observed. And they've observed some pretty bad things and done nothing, but they've also been, you know, they've observed in places where their presence has been a deterrent for other behaviors. But, you know, the changing perception in Palestine is important, because it does then push to the fore the question of human rights, that everybody has equal human rights. And when you think about that, you think about the fact that for many, many years, people were not even seeing Palestinians as equal human beings. Does this vote, does this general social media and media perception, maybe not mainstream media, but alternative media perception and social media perception, does this help with the concept of really seeing Palestinians as equal human beings and really honoring their human rights?
Yes, I think it does. Will it make an impact? No. I mean, not currently, at least for the moment. That isn't to say that as more and more people evolve, but, you know, you talk about, you know, human rights, Darfur, let's think about that for a minute, genocide that goes on all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can become aware, but where the next step from awareness is actually taking action on it. We're not there yet, because genocide is still being committed all over the world. And, you know, the position that Palestine is isn't right, and yet we can become enlightened about it, but the next step is how do you correct that? And it isn't obviously through the UN. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound cynical about it, but, you know, the reality is until we step forward and make changes, nothing's going to, you know, be any different for those people. And I don't know that can happen in our lifetime. Remember, they've been at this for 3,000 or 4,000 years now, fighting
right.
In that region.
You would think people get bored and want to, like, try peace out for a while, but, you know.
Or be civil.
It's almost like siblings. But, hey, Vinny, do you have something to say?
No. I'm listening to that.
Not cool. All right, Brian, do you want to say something?
Well, I was just listening, and I understand about Palestine and what's going on right now and shutting down the internet, and it's just crazy all over the place, and I don't know what to say. Do I ever think there'll be peace in the Middle East? No. It will never be peace in the Middle East. And you have too many tribes and too many religions within themselves to have peace in the Middle East, let alone the rest of the world. The UN, whether they're effective or not, it's still important to have them. It's still important to have information flowing, and someone can point to who could be accountable. The world is changing, and it's just a cluster F. It could be the name of a book.
Clusterfuck.
Totally clusterfuck.
It literally is. Anybody in charge? I don't know. I don't think so. People can't look to the West anymore as a leader and a strong thing to hope that they could bring some sense to society, because we have been discounted for the bad guys now. And if the bad guys are the big guys with the big guns and they're kicking us out and burning our embassy, it's like Armageddon.
Well, it's the fall of the Roman Empire. You know, if you read history, we just tend to repeat it over and over and over. And, you know, slowly the American citizen is having their rights taken away. And, you know, slowly it will just collapse on itself. You know, the people, we really have become sheep. We just kind of, if we don't hear it on Fox News, it can't be true, you know. And this is, I think, what's going to be our downfall in the end, is that, you know, it'll collapse, and then we will look to the very people who forced the collapse to help us, because we can't help ourselves.
Well, we're doing that now. When we looked at the Taliban at one time, then we looked to Hamas, and then we don't know where. Now we're looking to the Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm. Muslim Brotherhood.
And we just don't know where to look anymore. And the people don't even know where to look anymore, because the people don't know what they want. Before the United States say, okay, it's easy, let's go with the people, and let's be honest. Okay, I'm sorry, Melissa. I'm going to go out and rant. But let's be honest. if we don't like who's leading the country, we don't know where they go. Okay, get the CIA in there. Let's start a revolution. Let's promote it. Let's go on social media. Let's go there. It's a revolution. It's a resolution. Yay, democracy. And people know that's BS now. It's not like how it was in the 60s, and we want to go to Vietnam. We can talk about that. But the problem is that the citizens don't even know what they want anymore. One group wants this. There's so many different groups that we would have to tend to, and it's just going to explode in our face. You're right. It's coming down. It's Armageddon. The United States is no longer a leader, a power anymore. They are the Antichrist. We cannot help them. Anybody who's for democracy, the people are going to be against.
Well, not only that, but anybody who has risen up, Martin Luther King, Daniel Ellsberg, Howard Zinn, Ralph Nader, those are just ones that come off the top of my head, have been vilified, assassinated. What they do is they take anybody who has a sense of democracy and wants to fight for the people, and they either eliminate them or they discredit them so that they become the enemy. And it's really sad that we don't have that kind of leader, because the government won't allow that kind of leader.
Well, the face of Obama is a good face. And especially at this time,
whether that's the way you look. You have to look at it, Brian. It's an excellent brand.
Well, the reason why it's not the face of white America anymore.
Right.
White America has changed. They've got a man in the most powerful man in the world. His middle name is Hussein.
But what does that mean for the people who are unemployed and the economy and the fact that our government has been bought out by corporations and that, you know, we're in Afghanistan for 11 years and we're still not out? And, I mean, what is having the name Barack Obama have to do with, you know, economic health and morality for the United States? I don't get it. Sorry.
Well, you know what? I don't know. and you know what? Nobody knows, because I'll tell you what. It's in the Middle East, we should do like the Russians did. We lick our wounds, bow out. It cannot be done. There's too many tribes, too many religions, too many thoughts, too many this. We got to, the United States has to step back and say, you know what? We cannot police the world anymore.
The United States needs to just stop trying to fight every war there is that goes on.
Yeah,
Back off and let them fight their own battles, and if it gets worse or aimed towards the United States, then we'll step in.
Yeah, like two little kids, you let them fight it out, you make sure nobody, you know what I mean, gets a bat or a bottle or something, just let them fight real nice, and that's it.
Wait a minute, you guys. What about resources like oil and minerals and those kinds of
things? Take all of that shit. We take it.
Tell them again.
That is the American way.
We still ship that shit over here and just say fuck them.
See, that's middle America.
I'm coming from a military point of view. Okay, my family's military, so I'm speaking like my father would.
Well, my son's in Afghanistan right now, and I particularly don't want him coming home in a box because my brother,
he's over there too, so yeah, I know. I understand. Plus, I had a cousin that just died in this war.
Come home in a box, man.
There's no win-win situation.
But you know what?
We're here to pull all the troops out and let them just blow each other up and build here and keep our ground. Zero safe without going under fire.
Hey, that's war. What are you going to do? Shoot paintballs?
No, we'll shoot whoever crosses
out,
the enemy line.
No. Wait a minute. Who just said it's war? It's not war. We're not fighting in Afghanistan.
You tell
your
mothers that are burying their kids. It's not war.
I hear a nuclear bomb going off.
Listen, in Afghanistan, it's not war.
Iran.
Look, when an American gets killed, to me, it's war. It's war.
Well, they don't want us there. They want us out. They hate our guts. We're not shooting them. They're shooting us.
Well, what would you do? What would you rather do? Have a conflict?
Is it you or me?
Or a conflict?
No, I would rather be. I would rather be able to sit down at the table with these countries that have resources that we need and work something out than send people over to their, my children over to their country to kill their children.
Work something out. Who are you talking to? Maybe you could work something out with me, but not them animals.
Oh, well,
You can't be humane with them. You can't have an attitude like that. They got their Al Qaeda leader
and all this other stuff. They want war.
That's absolutely not true. And that is the result.
Some people jumped out of their towers while they were burning.
Wait a minute,
some
you guys are getting on Fox News here.
Yeah, right. Get me going. I've seen the towers. And it was just a handful of...
I'm just going to shut up before anything else happens.
Well, you know what?
Let's take a break, and we're going to play a song by Arlo Guthrie. And it's actually pretty funny. It's called A Pause for Santa Claus. And it has a hilarious story at the beginning.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, exactly.
And it's a hilarious story at the beginning about being an FBI agent. So can we play that now?
Sure.
FBI agent.
This next song.
Go ahead.
We're going to dedicate to a great American organization. Then I'd like to dedicate this to our boys in the FBI.
I'd like to dedicate Roxy the cat.
It's hard to be an FBI man. I mean.
Oh, fuck the FBI.
First of all, to be an FBI man, you have to be over 40 years old. And the reason is that it takes at least 25 years with the organization to be that much of a bastard. Well, it's true, you just can't join. You know, kind of. It needs an atmosphere where your natural bastardness can grow and develop and take a meaningful shape in today's complex society. But that's not why I want to dedicate the song to the FBI. I mean, the job that they have to do is a drag. I mean, they have to follow people around. That's part of their job. Follow me around. I'm out on the highway and I'm driving down the road and I run out of gasoline. I pull over to the side of the road. They got to pull over too, make believe that they ran out. You know, I go to get some gasoline. They have to figure out whether they should stick with the car or follow me. Suppose I don't come back and they're staying with the car. Or if I fly on the airplane. I could fly half fare because I'm 12 to 22, and they got to pay the full fare. But the thing is that when you pay the full fare, you have to get on the airplane first so that they know how many seats are left over for the half fare kids, right? And sometimes there aren't any seats left over, and sometimes there are, but that doesn't mean that you have to go. Right? Suppose that he gets on and fills up the last seat. So you can't get on, then he gets off, then you can get on. Right? And what's he gonna do? Well, it's a drag for him. But that's not why I wanna dedicate the song to the FBI. During these hard days and hard weeks, everybody always has it bad once in a while, you know, you have a bad time of it. And you always have a friend that says, "Hey man, you ain't got it that bad. Look at that guy." You look at that guy, and he's got it worse than you. And it makes you feel better that there's somebody that's got it worse than you. But think of the last guy. For 1 minute, think of the last guy. Nobody's got it worse than that guy. Nobody in the whole world. That guy, he's so alone in the world that he doesn't even have a street to land for a truck to run him over. He's out there with nothing. Nothing's happening for that cat. And all that he has to do to create a little excitement in his own life is to bum a dime from somewhere. Call up the FBI. Say, FBI? They say, yes. See, I dig Uncle Ho and Chairman Mao, and their friends are coming over for dinner. Hang up the phone. And within 2 minutes, and not 2 minutes from when he hangs up the phone, but 2 minutes from when he first put the dime in, they got 30,000 feet of tape rolling. Files on tape, pictures, movies, dramas, actions on tape. And then they send out a 500,000 people all over the entire world, the globe. They find out all they can about this guy. Because there's a number of questions involved in this guy. I mean, if he was the last guy in the world, how did he get a dime to call the FBI? There are plenty of people that aren't the last guys that can't get dimes. He comes along and he gets a dime. I mean, if he had to bum a dime to call the FBI, how was he going to serve dinner for all those people? How could the last guy make dinner for all those people? And if he could make dinner and was going to make dinner, then why did he call the FBI? They find out all of those questions within 2 minutes. And that's a great thing about America. I mean, this is the only country in the world. I mean, well, it's not the only country in the world that could find stuff out in 2 minutes, but it's the only country in the world that would take 2 minutes for that guy. Well, other countries would say, he's the last guy, screw him, you know? But in America, there is no discrimination, and there is no hypocrisy, because they'll get anybody. And that's a wonderful thing about America. And that's why tonight, I'd like to dedicate it to every FBI man in the audience. I know, you can't say nothing, you know. You can't get up and say, hi, you know, because then everybody knows that you're an FBI man. It's a drag for you and your friends. They're not really your friends, are they? So you can't get up and say nothing, because otherwise you got to get sent back to the factory. And that's a drag for you, and it's an expense for the government. And that's a drag for you. We're going to sing you this Christmas carol.
Uh-oh.
For all you bastards out there in the audience tonight. Called The Paws of Mr. Claus. Why do you sit there so strange? Is it because you are beautiful? You must think you are deranged. Why do police guys beat on these guys? You must think Santa Claus weird. He has long hair and a beard, giving his presents for free. Why do police guys mess with these guys? Let's get Santa Claus car. Santa Claus has a red suit, he's a communist, and a beard and long hair, must be a pacifist. What's in the pipe that he's smoking? Mr. Claus sneaks in your house tonight. He must be a dope fiend to put you up tight. Why do these guys beat on these guys?
Thank you.
Wow. That was pretty hilarious. What do you guys think of that song?
Entertaining.
It was
Minnie? Very entertaining. I like him. He's from the past.
Anne, what'd you think of that song?
I thought it was great. I thought he hit the nail on the head. Especially
and that was
done... Santa Claus.
That was done in like the 60s or 70s. I mean, that
in
was
the
like
60s,
done.
Yes.
Yeah, that was done a long time ago. So that is funny how that still fits.
You know, it's interesting. I always felt like Anonymous was going to be able to do what we couldn't do in the 60s. You know, because we really started that whole peace movement and the questioning of the government and, you know, all of that. And I was hoping that, you know, with technology combined with ethics, that we could do something. But, you know, so far it's still a very, very new infant revolution, a technical revolution. So maybe they will be able to. I don't know.
Yeah, that's very interesting, especially when you also consider how technology has also been being used to surveil people more. You know, you look at how much surveillance. Well, you look at how much technology is also being used to how to surveil people more. So it's a, like you said, it's a constant battle between those who know how to use technology for sharing of information and those who know how to use technology for hiding of information.
Well, I'm very proud of everyone on social media for stopping SOPA and PIPA. And, you know, as these bills come up, people are very protective of their rights on the Internet. But we are still being, you know, spied on and looked at. If you, you know, they have this set of keywords that if you use those words, you know, you're put on the watch list. And I've seen the list. And it's really sad, you know, that we have a government that's so paranoid that people who just want to express their opinion, who just want to be able to state how they feel, have to be put on a watch list if they use a certain word. And it's scary.
It is scary. It is scary. Brian, what did you think of the song?
I thought it was pretty good. See, I'm back in a day when we used to call him Big Brother.
Right.
And I remember... when I was in school one time, I was, I'm not going to tell you, I was in school, and we had this, and I was in a literary class, and our teacher had long hair and everything, and I just remember this, we're reading, and then he said, and this was back in the day, and he says, Big Brother is watching, and it's getting worse. Read, educate yourself, because Big Brother, in another 10, 20 years, we'll have every camera on every street, everything, and you can't even move because Big Brother will be watching. They could come through your house without a warrant. They could take you away for no reason at all. And it's coming. And we thought it was crazy. Guess what? It's here.
It's here.
It's here.
Yep.
And you know, and I have to say this, and this is where you guys are going to go, okay, Brian just checked out. I think 9/11 was an excuse. Hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
For the government to spy on their
go
own
in.
I think it was an excuse for Big Brother to open up with no question, no ACLU, none of this stuff, because we'll use the propaganda of they're coming to get us. They're coming to get us. We got to have every camera on the corner. You guys tell them your neighbors, your sons tell them whatever, whoever's suspicious. We're going to forget about the warrant. We're going to forget about the Miranda rights. If you are at least a bit suspicious, we're taking you away. I think 9/11 was the big excuse for Big Brother to invade and take over without any kind of resistance.
So you,
yeah, Brian, you just put yourself on a watch list, by the way.
I probably did. I
well,
probably
you put yourself
did,
on the watch list, but I got to ask you: do you really believe that the terrorists got on that plane and blew up the World Trade Center?
Well, we're going to go into that conspiracy. I know a lot of people think we did it and everything.
I'm not going to say nothing because my cousin works at the Pentagon, so during that, I'm not touch that subject.
I do believe.
Plus, I was trained here in Oklahoma City at Tinker, so it's kind of like,
Oklahoma City, that was a little bit different.
I do believe
but
the
I'm here in this state, so if anybody hears my voice and knows me, it's going to be like, all eyes on me, you know. I'm going to be like, I'm going to have to hide out of my house so everybody leave me alone.
They
keep
want,
my mouth
they
shut.
Put me on nine watch lists.
here's an interesting story, just talking about the expansion of the government's rights. The FBI fired shots during a raid of a Maryland home of Emery Hughley, who is a teenage girl. The SWAT team of 15 agents burst into the family's home. They performed a search warrant, but they didn't give a reason why. And the girl was, shot momentarily, but she's fine. It was a flesh wound. And they still haven't told her why they burst in on her home and why she was shot. So just think about that. The FBI is running into people's homes now. They're bursting into people's homes. They're shooting people, teenage girls included, and they're not giving reasons why they're doing this. That's pretty scary to me.
That's scary.
What was the nationality of the people in the homes?
It was a family. It was simply a family at home. And
they had to be white, black, or Hispanic.
The ethic. What was the ethic?
Were they black, Hispanic, Middle Eastern?
Let me just check and see the ethnicity. I just thought in general it was completely ridiculous that this happened. But
sure,
I did not look into the ethnicity.
Sure, sure, yes.
Well, it
happened in Maryland, so I don't know. And the rumor is it had to do with heroin.
Maryland.
Yeah, and the rumor is it had to do with heroin, but nothing's been confirmed. And, you know,
okay.
They still have no reason why they burst in. Now, is that, how does that make, you know, people feel when you think about the FBI bursting in people's homes?
Well, I grew up with that my whole life, growing up in Newark. It's no big thing, so the cop kicked in the neighbor's door. I mean, it's no big thing. Again, we're going back to the Midwest where, wow, what happened? Every day, that's everyday news here.
Yeah, Vinny, maybe everyday news, but is it right? No, it isn't right.
9 out of 10 times, them guys are right. They don't kick your door in for nothing. They know everything about you. They know what you did. It was probably a mistake. I mean, you bring it up. They kick in 10 doors. They kick in 100 doors. 1 in 100. Is the wrong thing, but I mean, come on, nobody's perfect. I mean, of course, a girl is traumatized. They'll pay for their mistake. They'll give her a few $100,000. She'll be happy and on her way, and that's it.
Yeah, but it's a problem because it's erosion of our rights. It's erosion of our belief in safety, and we're paying for this. This is our tax dollars. You know, we're paying for.
I just have to interject. We may sometimes, when we go in the archives, we're in the archives right now. Sometimes we go over in archives without any reason. You may have somebody say, thank you for listening to Blog Radio, and they will hang up on all of us. So if that happens, I'm just letting you know. It's not the host.
Well,
it's
see,
Blog Radio.
He just verified how bad it's gotten, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm really serious when I tell you and the listeners that there is the list. I've seen it myself.
Am I gonna watch
if you use certain words on the internet, you are put in a category on a watch list.
So what are those words?
How do you find out if you're on the list? How could you find out if you're on that list?
Well, you can do a Freedom of Information Act, but good luck, you know, request.
Okay.
Sure you are, you know,
but
because
that'll
we've
put
all...
you on the list.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
That'll probably put you on the list if you want to find out if you're on it.
Exactly.
and once you're on a list, explain to people, what does that mean once you're on a list?
Well, it just means that they monitor to see what activity you're doing. And, you know, I mean, I can just tell you from Facebook experiences that the people who are most vocal politically have the hardest time with being sanctioned and censored and removed and banned and it's simply a way for the government to ferret out who they think is a threat. And you know, whichever one of you was talking about 9/11 being an excuse, it certainly was, you know, a way to take away our rights, because the Patriot Act, you know, people were just clamoring for the Patriot Act because they were scared. They thought, this is going to protect us from terrorists. And it's just ridiculous. It's just a way for the government to control people. And it's not government. Remember, it's large corporations that run America today. Government doesn't exist. It's run specifically by large corporations, and it's all about money. It's not about government.
But they, you know, that was the exact same thing they said in the 60s.
It's amazing that it's still the same, though. We're still having the same conversation.
Worse now.
Yeah.
It's worse.
Well, what happened in the 60s is that the person who said that and they're fighting for freedom is now a Republican.
How did that happen? Yeah. I want to know.
Well, here's what happened. Because the revolution was great, and then we went into the 60s and was great, and free love, free this, free that, and all of a sudden a lot of those leaders faded away. And they didn't really have you're Bob Dylan, you're whatever. The message was that model, but then they started liking money and capitalism. And a lot of those people who joined that fight in Woodstock are now bankers and capitalists. And that's what happened to the movement. It faded away, and they went into the Republican Party.
Wait a minute. The leaders that were pushing that movement have all been assassinated or are in jail. You know, so you can't. You know, it's hard to lead if they suppress the leaders.
Well, it's true. But the people, see, the people don't understand how much power they have. A voice is a power. There's a lot of people who are looking for a leader when there is a leader inside of them. The message, I'm not going to use the word leader because it puts something on someone. The message was there, but it was not forwarded to other people to make the message stronger for people to the people in the government to say, hey, you know what, it's time to change. And I do mean that by voting. And we had this on our show. This is way back long ago when I asked people whether voting. 99% of the people did not vote. 99% of the people did not care. 99% of the people said it's not going to change anything anyway.
Well, I have to agree with them.
I think the vote
is nothing.
Yeah.
Really, the vote means nothing. I mean, if your candidates are Obama and Romney, they kicked Ron Paul out. They took away any, you know, halfway sane vote. So what does voting give you if it's just going to give you corporate America?
Well,
do you think Obama is going to extend the tax cuts? Let me ask you that question.
Well, see, first of all, I'm going to answer your first question. If Ron Paul's a cuckoo. Ron Paul,
he might be cuckoo, but we didn't have a choice
president
to vote for him in a lot of the states.
Well, Ron Paul is he's a doctor. I know he's a doctor. He's an OBGYN or something like that. But see, Ron Paul believed that Martians are going to come and get us.
Oh my God.
He has some way out views. He has some sensible views. Not everybody crazy is all crazy. There are crazy people that make sense, and Ron Paul was one of them. But it was unfortunate. I think you're right. The candidates that we have, the choice that we have to lead the country, and it's wrong. But it's our fault.
How about Bernie
but it's
Sanders?
Our fault. Why it's like that? Because we hear that some great guy who has great ideas, and I go with General Petraeus, and I don't know what your views on this, great guy with great ideas, he cannot run for office because guess what? He accidentally slept with another woman who was not his wife. Therefore, America will not vote for him.
Accidentally slept with another. Oh, he slipped that one in there. No, he did not accidentally
slept with
her. It happens. It's an accident.
He slipped on a banana peel and just landed right on top of her.
It happened.
Stopped himself.
Yeah, he just slipped, and there went his dick. I mean, no,
uh-oh.
Seriously.
Well, it happened.
He chose to sleep with
her.
He
ran inside. Humpity hump.
Not necessarily,
exactly.
Right, Penny?
Well, you know what?
Those things happen sometimes. You know, there's a mistake. You know what I mean?
It's a mistake. You wander into a place, and now it's time to have a drink.
Oh, God.
Let's just accept
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're in big trouble for doing that, but it's okay for just slip off, you know, land
yeah,
in
you
some
slip on a salami and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's how you catch things, Vinny, that's how you catch things.
That was funny.
Can we get back to the people's voice for a minute? Just let me make one comment, please.
The reason
why we had Arab Spring was because people were cold and hungry and tired of being oppressed. We don't have that in America. Even the poor are not, you know, they're not sitting out. We're not cold enough, we're not hungry enough, and we're not uncomfortable enough. When that happens, you will have an uprising. You know, think the French Revolution.
I was there in the 67 riots. I was there. Can I ask where you're from?
The Italians don't border the French.
No, where's she
at
from?
At one point,
Tom. I mean,
France. I'm at.
Vinny, where? What 67 rides are you talking about? Where? In Newark?
Yeah, in Newark. It's in Newark, New Jersey. We had the rides. I think there was 50-some people killed or 100-some. You know, I've seen it. I've been there. You know, you're acting like, whoa, this happens. This could happen. It's happening now.
Well, it will always evolve to violence. That's one thing. You know, I think that eventually it will. It always does. It always evolves to violence. I mean, we can use protesting and all that stuff, but it always will end up being violent because that's the way the change gets made for some ungodly reason. I don't know why. But until people are cold enough and hungry enough and uncomfortable enough to take to the streets, it's nothing's going to happen.
Well, we tried that with the Occupy situation.
Yeah, but that wasn't taking to the streets. That was just
that was a lot of middle class people as well. So, you know, and students that had the ability to do that kind of thing. There was a homeless element to it, but there was more a student and middle class element that could afford.
How come right now we're talking and we're not standing in front of the Capitol in Washington?
Right.
For what cause?
Because we want our government to change. We want economic stability. We want.
It's 2012.
You're talking about
change.
A socialist. Are you talking socialism?
Well, no, but. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the right one is.
And
fascism,
they don't know
socialism,
either.
Communism.
Well,
certainly
you're talking
not
communism?
No, I'm not talking any of those things. I'm talking.
Yeah.
How about a balance?
Because there's no. Well, you don't. When you have freedom of free will, our country, there will never be a balance because you have freedom. That's what.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I was in school one time, and I'll tell you another story. So it was back in the day. There was one Russian kid that was in school. He didn't talk to nobody. He was a Russian kid. The teacher asked him a question about Russia, or about the United States. He stood up, and the teacher said, "Hey, what do you think of the United States?" He says, "United States. The problem with the United States is they have too much freedom." Now, everybody hated that kid for saying it, but as soon as he said it, I thought about it, he's absolutely correct. Sometimes
what does that mean to you, Brian, too much freedom? I'm a little confused by that.
Well, what he means is there's not a path, there's not a guideline, there's not a straight course. When you have a lot of people thinking individually, individual thinking, which is encouraged, it's hard to get a cause.
Is that what caused the 1%? Is that what you're saying?
Well, this is back in the day. It wasn't really the 1%. He just said that the American people have too much freedom. That's all he said. You can interpret it in his way, but I took it in a way that sometimes when you say, let's get together, let's march down, let's go for a cause, but you have so many other people with different causes. This is what happened with the Occupy movement. You had one people over here talking about the homeless. Let's help the homeless. You have another person over here saying teachers need to be, budget cuts.
Better contracts.
Then you had another part of the Occupy saying kill, 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 and they all grouped together.
No one ever said that, Brian. No one ever said kill, kill, kill as part of Occupy. That's absolutely incorrect.
There was one guy on TV I saw.
Well,
but let me be honest.
Uh-huh.
I'm on your side. What happened with the Occupy movement, there was no organization, and there's other people who infiltrated. They got
infiltrate,
inside.
Infiltrate, yeah.
Thank you. They got inside, and they destroyed that cause with their own agenda. And when I say kill, 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 I'm not going to say that was part of the Occupy movement, but they did get inside that movement, and there's a lot of different movement within that movement that destroyed that one cause the Occupy wanted to do, which is go against the big banks, which is go against corporate America. That was the message of the original Occupy movement, but you had a lot of different other groups that got involved in that destroyed that message. That's just what I think.
You know, people like Brandon Darby with his fake documentary pieces and.
You're right. They had no leaders. They had no movement. They had no message because the messages, there were so many messages in there. And corporate America and regular and middle class people like Stephanie who are in Oklahoma saying, "What the fuck are you doing? You're up a tree. You're sitting in the park. You're moving over here with signs. You got idiots running around saying this, and then you got teachers saying budget cuts, and then you got this kind of banks are frauding us, and they're taking our homes. And it was just too many. It was just. Then they would have some idiot, and the news media does this. They'll get some ignorant idiot to speak on behalf of the movement.
Right. Well, that's basically calling controlling the narrative and making sure that the messages of these people are morons and dismissible and don't bother, just don't pay attention to them. That was the goal of the mainstream media. But there were a lot of people who did come out. The concept, and I understand that you have confusion about, like, the fact that there were no leaders and they didn't have a unified message. There was one unified message, and it was that all of our grievances are connected. And that is the truth, that every single grievance that people were bringing up had to do with greed, had to do with government taking too much or doing cuts or not, you know, not collecting taxes from the right people or letting... You know, so all of our grievances are connected, and that is the one thing that will actually help change happen. When people realize that, hey, this is the concept of the 99%. Hey, we're all suffering, and it's because of these guys, and we need to, like, make them responsible for, you know, making sure the economy is fair, that, you know, resources are accessible and shared, that there isn't extremes of poverty and wealth, that there isn't extremes of control and government interference, and, you know, that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are recognized and honored. You know, those basic things, that is basically what came out of the Occupy movement. I do agree that they didn't have a unified leadership, and personally, I was part of the streaming media team, and I was very frustrated with them, very frustrated at many points. But they had an impact. They did do something, and they're doing a really good job with helping out people from Hurricane Sandy. But yeah, I mean, there could have been so much more done with it.
There were people who, and I agree with you, Melissa. All I'm saying is that the message was gobbled. The message was
not clear.
Well,
it got diluted because
thank you.
It got diluted because people did not connect the dots. That Melissa's right. They are all connected. You know, any of those causes, if you look at the root of them, you know, come down to having a corporate America and having a 1%. You know, there's a big, huge imbalance. And it's, you know, this is why I'm asking about how people feel here today about the tax cuts. Do you think, you know, Obama is going to go in on his bribes, pay back for his bribes, or is he going to do right by the people?
I
have no earthly idea on that one.
You say bribes. Can we say another word? Let's face it. This is Ann, right, Ann? Let's face it. Lobbyists have a very important part in election and favors and things like that. And I don't want to say bribes, but if he's going to do something, he will do it on his probably his third year when he becomes a really lame duck, because he wants to leave a legacy. Do I think he's going to do the right thing? Yes. Do I think, because presidents like to leave some kind of legacy. They want to do something remarkable to change the world, and I think he will try.
Okay, but he has to decide at the end of the year whether he's going to extend those tax cuts.
I think he will. Of course he is. I mean, this cliff thing that's going on? Please. That's just rhetoric and propaganda for you guys. You better write your congressman because this is what's going to happen. That's just rhetoric.
Yeah.
That's just BS. Of course they're going to. A lot of those people are coming up for re-election in 2 years. And if they don't come to some kind of plan, those guys are going to be out of a job. And and there's a lot of rhetoric and propaganda going on. Do I think Obama's going to do the right thing? Yes. Do I think gay marriage, do I think all this is going to happen in California and everywhere? Yes, I think he's going to really do it. If anybody can, he will. The other alternative will be Romney, and you know damn well he wasn't going to do it.
Well,
things will change.
You have more of the F word than I do, and make that face.
You know what? Sometimes, you know what? Let me tell you, Ann, sometimes you got to, because that's all you have. And you got, and there's writers.
We have more. We have a lot more. We're just not utilizing it.
We don't, because the country, the kids, the generation is diluted throughout the thing. You got kids right now who are Republicans in eighth grade. You have a divided country. The Middle East is exploding. The world is crumbling down. The sky is falling. Right now, when Obama won the election, you have people, I can't believe it, you have the people in the United States states are saying they want to break away from the union because the man was elected.
Oh, that's so just a temper tantrum. That's not
wait,
even.
Wait a minute. They've
seriously.
Been doing that since the. They've been doing that since the beginning.
There's
nothing new about succeeding from the union. And believe me, the South has never ever accepted the union. So, you know, it just that's just a whole thing.
But, you know,
I still think I have more faith that people could do more. Than just resign themselves to Obama, who's not going to do anything. But let's see what happens at the end of the year.
But you got to look at it. It's happening. Obama won Florida, Ann.
What does that have to do with anything?
It has a lot to do with it because Florida is a Republican state.
I know.
But no, but you don't have to.
It's
no,
a
no. But, I mean,
state.
It sounds funny, but I'm sorry.
No, listen.
It sounds funny, but listen. You see, what I'm trying to say, Ohio, what I'm trying to say to you, that is changing. You got to look at the change.
Right,
I know you want the overall explosion.
Well,
I'm,
hurry up, damn it. It's not happening fast. It
is.
It is.
Everybody
on
the edge. You got to look at it.
It
is changing.
About the time for December 21st or whatever.
Whatever.
It is changing. And I guarantee you in the next...
God. Is it going to end? I hope so. I can't wait.
I guarantee you in the next 4 years, the Republican is going to put a
woman
president.
Whatever happens.
There's going to be a woman president and a Republican party.
What, you mean Hillary? Oh, my God, please.
And
help
I
us.
Think there will be a Hispanic.
No.
Here's
be
a woman
Hispanic
that has
face. I think
more money than God, and she needs a damn facelift.
I think it'll be an Hispanic face in a Republican
no,
party.
No, Hillary worked harder than president and vice president together,
oh,
if you ask me,
God,
to be honest.
Guys,
she travels everywhere, and she
no. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the little things that make the big things happen, and you see what's going on in the world. You know, the racism and everything, you can see it. Okay, it's us all there. The loud voices are overshadowing what you can really look at. We do have a
see,
black
for
president.
For you, this is a racial issue. Obama
no,
is
No, it's
a
not
racial
a racial issue.
It
I'm
is
saying,
for you. You've admitted it.
No,
this is
I didn't
about
admit
race
it.
With you.
I did not say a racial issue. I'm saying that the world is
it
changing.
Is.
I'm not. No, I did not say it's a okay. racial issue. I'm just pointing out
I think
certain,
for you personally it's a racial issue.
Let's just
issue.
Have a 157
no,
up there
I'm
and
not,
just call it a day.
I'm not saying that for me. I'm just saying I'm pointing out big changes that you can see. I'm seeing women being in a very powerful situation thanks to Hillary Clinton, Condoleezza Rice. I'm seeing women
exactly.
uprising.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
Well, God ain't going to help it change. Well, he can.
Those are just my views. You got to look at the small things, and the world is changing. And the next generation. Anyway, that's just my view. Thank you,
that
Melissa.
Sound
for
like
that
sounds like a
meeting.
Squirrel.
What is that noise?
Is that a squirrel chirping?
Yeah, what
is that?
I don't know that noise. I
that's
don't
the
know
FBI
that.
Tapping in. Oh, no, we'll run. CIA, Secret Service. Oh, my God.
See, that's what you start talking, Ryan. Now you're on the list. You're on the watch list, so.
Well, if they watch me, it's going to be so bored. I don't leave the house, and they're going to just know what channel.
I know, they're going to come in. I'll be like, hi, I'm just smoking my cigarette, drinking my coffee. Hi, you want a latte, too?
Well, you know,
it's
changing. You got to have faith.
Well, you know, it
and
is
have faith
changing.
And just
because...
hope and pray.
Yeah. That thing stays the
by
same.
By the time we
it
get off
to...
this radio blog, it just. Nothing changed.
It is changing right now. As soon as you get off this, you
some
watch the news.
Some things do change.
The Middle East is changing. For God's sake, Gaza is changing.
The perception of the Middle East is shifting. I wouldn't say that the Middle East is changing. I would say that the perception of what's happening there, that the Palestinians are given of, I guess, more of a voice or more of a platform to be, you know, recognized as equal human beings. But I don't think anything's changing yet in the Middle East. There's still a lot of problems.
Just that propaganda that leaked out that the perception is changing, changed. That would have
been... I think that was the aliens tapping in. I'm going to be like Ron Paul over here.
Okay.
I don't know. You guys... You can look up those things before you say them as facts. Because I looked up a lot of the... On that Ron Paul stuff, I don't want to get into a huge discussion, but I looked up a lot of the stuff that people said he said, and he never said them. So.
No, but he does believe in UFOs. Ron Paul believes in UFOs.
Okay, so do I.
But Ron Paul also, well, did Ron Paul once believe that he was abducted by a UFO? It was something.
Oh my God.
Isn't that,
I see him walking through
that
my
that
walls or coming in my house, aliens.
No, I don't.
Well, wait a minute.
Are
you
saying I don't believe that's possible at all. I don't.
You don't.
No, I
okay,
really
Ann,
don't.
Okay, Ann, go ahead. Hold on. Let's hear Ann out. Go ahead, Ann. Like, say your piece. We're talking over here. Let's hear her side of it.
I appreciate, you know, that it's a scary thought, you know, but I think that we're just a little dot in an infinite universe, and the idea that there could be other life and that it could be more sophisticated than ours and that people could be abducted and experimented on or hybrids or whatever isn't a far-out idea to me.
Well, so are ghosts and goblins and boogeymen. We had them as kids.
And we still have them.
For instance, Mars. What are we doing to hell on Mars? No human life can sustain on Mars. But they believe little Martians are running around and things, fine.
Well,
just because
Brian, wait. There have been planets discovered outside of our particular galaxy that
we
have...
We spend too much money on NASA.
No, we don't spend too much money on that. The choice is, what happens if we mess up our world or an asteroid comes hurtling
towards us?
You know,
who's going to stop
then,
we're
not going to be able to stop it. We're going to be able to stop a planet-sized asteroid.
Like, yay, we're on fire. Blow up the whole world.
But the thing about, what's your answer? We load up in rocket ships and we go to another planet?
Yeah, take off. Let's see how much this fuel's going to last.
And she has a point. How much is it going to cost? You know what happened? The rich people go, Kokomo, let's go. Come on, let's blast it
let's
out. The
go.
Poor people
go,
hey.
Uh-oh.
There's already private space travel happening. Have you ever heard of XPRIZE? XPRIZE actually is a contest.
Don't they have like gas stations up in the skies?
Is that run by
to fuel
up?
No, XPRIZE, what they did is they had they basically had a contest for the first.
Well, they have nuclear, you know, underwater. So I mean, I'm just saying, you never know these days.
Yeah. Well, basically, they had a space. They were able to do the first private space travel into the outer atmosphere of a planet. So that's already happened. We already have privatized space travel.
And they have them
deep
underground. So many. Stories down, so in case they, you know, they have all that food and everything.
You can dig deep down, and what happens if you keep digging deep down, you cause earthquakes. That's what happens. So you can't.
Well, that's
can't
what
keep...
they got. They got all these people investing in these homes underground.
Right,
you
and
seen,
if they keep
about,
digging.
Okay.
Do you know that
they're
stopped...
going to dig deep into oh my God.
They're going to dig deep enough and hit a fault line like they've done in Europe, and they've caused earthquakes.
Just like they're trying to blow up all these other buildings and stuff. Ooh, here comes a little shake movement. The world's going to end.
Right.
It's supposed to end in a couple of months. What is it, next month?
21 days.
Yeah, a couple of days.
Oh, my gosh. I just want the first day, 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to be right in the middle of your 12 days of Christmas. So
exactly.
You're going to
on the 21st, let's see what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you
well,
know, I'm going to tell you something.
I want to
thank to be invited in this conversation. It's interesting.
I don't know what
you believe. I want to thank you, Anne, for engaging into this conversation.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm not saying goodbye to
really
Melissa's show.
That.
I just want to bow out before when Melissa will say goodbye to everything. I just want to say goodbye.
God bless all military troops across the world. Yeah. Make sure they're home safe.
But one thing,
God bless.
But one good thing that I know that we do know is if you open communication and be open to other people's ideas without being rude or
exactly.
prejudice, we learn something and maybe we can move forward.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%.
So,
okay,
brainstorm.
Okay.
I think we're done for today. What do you think, Brian? I think we've achieved an interesting show.
Well, you know what? I don't want to break in. I want to just say this in archives, and it was an interesting conversation. I tell you the truth, it was. I want to thank you, Melissa. Stephanie, please join me, and Diane and Jeff, if you can open up your mic, please. I want to thank you, Melissa, also. This is her first show. This is her first day. She did
hell good.
Good.
Well, and thank you for all the guests and everybody who spoke, because it wasn't just me, that's for sure.
Well, you were fantastic. You kept the conversation. You asked intelligent questions.
Exactly.
You were engaging. You kept people listening. And you were a great guest.
She had an FBI thing planned.
Oh, that was Melissa. I thought it was fantastic. I listened to that and I laughed all night.
That was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
I could not stop laughing when I heard that. I was just like, oh my God, I don't want to laugh too loud because I'm going to croak or choke.
That was all Melissa.
That was a good one. I loved it.
And I want to also thank you, Melissa, for letting me listen to your guests today, Sylvia and also Ann. And you're very interesting. You know, Ann, I would love to smoke a joint with you.
Oh my gosh.
You're welcome. And we
now
talk.
Now here comes everybody. They're going to all think I'm, some kind of drug dealing going on here. I'm like,
We need another show on legalizing marijuana. I always call it free
cannabis. Well, we'll do that next week.
I'm too scared to get locked up and go to jail.
What, to smoke marijuana?
You can't smoke it here in Oklahoma. You go to jail.
No, it's
well,
not legal.
This is exactly what's wrong with our country.
See,
well,
and we've got all these sick cancer folks,
well, I mean?
And, you know,
I just don't God bless Colorado. I just want
That's
to
right.
say.
I just don't feel like fooling
and
with no
Washington.
Yeah, I just want to, you know what, Stephanie, if they legalize marijuana, which I hope they do, it maybe becomes more pure and you're not getting all
cancer.
The...
I mean, taking a bottle of pills is like drinking a bottle of whiskey.
It could be, but
and it
God,
causes more liver damage. It causes more, you know, if you have an ulcer, it's going to turn into cancer cells anyway.
But
you're
going to
be
so high, you
won't
even
stomach.
Feel it.
I know, they're like, who cares?
I want to thank everybody.
Whatever.
Jeff and Diane, before we head out and before they kill us, can you say anything? Like to Melissa, what a great job she's done today. I'm so proud of her.
It was a
Thank
good
you.
Show. You're welcome.
This was very intriguing.
It was intriguing. You did a great job, Melissa.
Melissa just like opened my mind up.
That's my goal.
Bro, I'm done.
Instead of feeling like I'm smoking a joint for the FBI busting in.
Awesome. We're drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drugs, mind, peace, mind. Let's get back to the 60s.
Welcome to the watch list, Stephanie.
Let's get Woodstock back, Mom. Yeah, I'm